please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
I say words for fun. I'm the race car of podcasting.
You really are a human, Totino.
He's a pile of laundry on a chair.
There's four corners of the room.
Robots, robots. Pop-Pop was digging in the crates.
That is how Daddy likes it.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, Benidias. Welcome to the, indeed, welcome to the program, episode 33. O'Reilly Auto Parts. My son and I sing that every time we go past it. We enjoy singing songs together in unison. We welcome into the program, 33O, the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. I don't know how you guys are feeling about it, and I'm opening up the floor early, and that's I'm not a fan that I'm doing this, quite frankly. I'm not a fan of opening up the floor this early. I just this Andy Borowitz news has me just has me.
What happened?
He's been let go from the Atlantic. He's we will no longer see his words that are intended to be humorous.
I didn't even know he was there. I thought he was wrote for the New Yorker.
My apologies. I say the Atlantic.
Yeah
the New Yorker.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been let go, and so he will no longer be able to state the obvious in a headline format that then theater goers go, look at the brilliance. He was right. What, once a year he'd get something you'd go, yeah, okay, that's funny, right?
I didn't see his work, so I don't know the answer to that. But he did create the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so he's goated in my book.
No, he's not. No, don't you dare. I know you have a love of
I'm kidding. Will Smith's rap. I didn't like that show either. I never watched it.
It wasn't bad. But creating it and going on to then be considered one of the foremost satirists in the world is insanity.
It's a weird career move,
right? Hey, I wrote for this guy.
Yeah.
And I created this thing where this guy does the Carlton, does a little dance,
right?
And now I do this, and then you're supposed to think I'm a genius. Or, you know what, maybe he thinks he sucks, and he's like, can you play? And it goes back to his partner every night and goes, I fucking fooled him again. Like, I can't believe they keep paying me.
Then it must have been a big relief to get let go.
Oh, the pressure's off of him. My cousin Dan wrote, going out like he's going in, and my cousin found screenshots of a joke from like 12 years ago and then a joke from last month. Same fucking joke. Like a political statement, but the same exact, you know, I think it was about Kevin McCarthy. He's now going to spend time, blah, 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 blah. And it was the same joke about somebody 12 years ago.
Right. Some other politician who left.
Yeah. And by the way, it's the same joke a guy I went to high school also puts on Facebook,
right?
But it's it's in the New Yorker. I saw all of his stuff mainly because people from high school, when they were not doing their own creative comedy takes, they would post
his stuff.
Non-ironically, Borowitz does it again.
Yeah,
and then you'd go, you got to be fucking with, like. And then there's also comedians that would post his stuff, going, look at how great he. And I'm like, you're in the business.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my negativity to start the program with. Andy Borowitz has been let go, and we're going to get through that. Of course, Norman Lear passing away is sad for anybody that likes television, quite frankly.
Yeah. Maybe slightly the edge is taken off by the fact that he was almost 102.
I don't think there's any edge in him dying. There's no surprise in any way,
but
shape, or form.
It's a time to reflect on an amazing career.
I don't know of anybody that's as important to television, in modern-day television. Certainly.
Andy Borowitz?
I never made the transition, other than the Fresh Prince, of course. Yeah. But if you go, obviously, I'm not talking about Steve Allen or, Desi Arnaz or, back then. What he did.
Yeah.
Yes, Elliot.
So, the guy to The Good Place, what's his name?
Who do you think, Shonda Rhimes?
Well, Shonda Rhimes, but...
Yeah, but that's not the same.
Mike Schur? Or are you talking about Greg Daniels?
Greg Daniels, yeah.
I don't think he was involved with The Good Place, but he did The American Office and Parks and Rec.
So, like, that's a... Well, that's not as much as Norman Lear.
No.
And not
well,
as...
You know, socially alone.
Yeah, socially alone. I guess I'm saying that.
Well, that's why I was thinking of The Good Place, is because I felt like that show kind of does some of that. In a modern way.
Yeah, but it's also, we're in a different time where, like, you know, when All in the Family was on TV, I think probably at least half of America watched it every week.
100%.
Whereas maybe...
Or 50%, I guess.
Maybe 2 or 3 million people watched The Good Place.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very hard to be Norman Lear today and have that kind of an effect.
Well, I don't think you could. Yeah. I don't think a
show like Roots, which was universally, you know, important and whatever, that I don't think would have the same impact now.
No.
Mm-mm. I think All in the Family is the greatest show of all time. I mean, I think it's flawless. I think Maude is flawless. Mm-hmm. When I say flawless, I mean, obviously there's an episode or two that are clunkers. There's going to be anything. Mm-hmm. One Day at a Time was great. The Jeffersons was great. But, you know, those other two are just, they were all groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So,
I was just listening to How to Survive with John Hamm, and he was talking about how his mom was a single mother and that she loved One Day at a Time and I forget the other examples of TV shows with single mothers. And he was like, you know, because she saw
Alice,
yeah. She saw, you know, she was represented on television, and that at a time when he didn't know any other kid whose parents were divorced. Mm-hmm. Like, and growing up, he was the only kid in his school that he was aware of. And so just that alone, I mean, he did a million other things, but just putting single mothers on network television so that a thing that was happening in society was reflected on television was a huge deal. And it seems so mundane at now, because it's, you know,
now they're putting homosexuals on television.
Well, not on my TV.
Here. I mean, that's, you know, somebody singles this out. This is the thing that finally gets us. And then I have to go, but it's satire. They go, you mean like Andy Bowers? I go, yes. They go, case closed.
Yeah.
Now I understand. We didn't realize it was satire. We were taking you guys at face value. I think a lot of what we say on this show is for comedy. I think that is safe to say.
I mean, It's almost like we named the show Never Not Funny because that was our intent
You guys aren't. Shut up. So we welcome everybody in. We welcome everybody into the program. Mm-hmm. We welcome you guys in on a Thursday here. I'm still recovering from whatever effing thing was happening with the allergic reaction to the medicine.
Yeah.
As I was telling you off the air, I saw my allergist yesterday who was very, very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care. Literally was just like, yeah, but you're, like, his take was, but you're here. Like, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what are you doing here? And I'm like, I was told to come here by my primary so that we could figure out. And then he's like, just stop taking that medicine. And yes, I understand all that on paper, but like, clearly, you know, the person at urgent care and my primary both told me to come to see you. Mm. And so here I am. So you're outweighed 2-1, in my opinion. Figure something out.
Right.
And he also is, I will say that he's a very nice man. I like him a lot. But I will say things that would get emails from fans going, hey, that thing you said, blah, blah, blah. Funniest thing you've said in the history of the show. Like, that's how things I say to him in the room mm-hmm. that he will answer me as if I'm being very, very serious.
Yeah.
And yesterday, and this is not an example, but yesterday, I'm not claiming this is one of the funniest things, but his lobby had to be 38 degrees. It was frigid. It was freezing in there. And I was even in my head, I'm going, well, you're a little under the weather. You know, maybe, you know, you're sensitive to it or whatever. I am sensitive to, as we know, I have this thing up on a baffle. Is that how would you call it?
It's redirecting the air so it doesn't hit me.
Yeah. That all stems from my Bell's palsy that I can't have cold air hit the left side of my face because it's very sensitive. So, which is great. That's only been dealing with that for 25 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got in there. And I recognize it's December, but he's in a zip-up sweater. Like, and he's clearly bundled up.
Yeah.
And then he's got his lab coat over that, which is funny because it looks like it reminds me of like when you were a kid and you go out and play in the snow, that you put just one more layer on to stay warm.
Yeah.
And that his jacket, like it didn't fit over what he had, his little lab coat. So I said, hey, by the way, your lobby's freezing. And he said, yeah, we don't control it. I go, the building controls it? He goes, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. And I said, you know what? I'll take care of it. And he goes, I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do about it. I go, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to talk to that guy. And he goes, well, they're not gonna, there's nothing you can do about it. We've talked to him. And I go, I don't care if I go downstairs and talk to the pharmacist. I'm getting something done. And he goes, okay. And I'm like, at some point, I'm like, why, in my head, like, why are you continuing this bit?
Yeah.
He's clearly not on board with it.
Right.
And then I went, well, it's a little chilly.
Yeah, it's like, I can't work with this if you won't even meet me 20% of the way.
And that's, again, that said, he's the nicest guy. I like him a lot. But
you got to get rid of this dude.
I got to shake loose, yeah. I got to shake loose anybody that doesn't appreciate my comedy.
Yeah.
And that seems to be most of the medical world.
Well,
which I would love to shake them all loose.
They're sick of your bullshit, I think, is the problem. It's like when you perform in a club, people come to see you and they're there because they want to hear Jimmy Pardo tell jokes. It's the opposite situation. When you walk into a doctor's office, they're like, fuck this guy again.
No, there's no way. There's no way. I appreciate your comedy. And maybe I'm wrong. I'd like to think I'm a breath of fresh air because they're dealing with nobody. Everybody else is just complaining. Mm-hmm. And they're at the doctor. They've got aches and pains. And even when I do, and I've told you this, I have one doctor that he said, whenever you leave, the nurse and I talk to each other, like, we can't believe your great disposition. That, it, you know, everybody else comes in with less going on than you do, and they complain about everything. Mm-hmm. And you're always in a good mood. You ask us how we're doing. And I do, because I don't understand. They're still human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, that said, there are days where I go in there and just, like, do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a crap mood. Anyway, this guy just told me to stop taking this medicine, which had already been predetermined by me, and I am not a medical professional.
Right.
Which is a shame. It was good medicine. It was did its job. Go ahead. Oh, missed it. Oh, boy. Thought I could hit it. My apologies to the French Tory connection, which, by the way, should be their name.
Oh, yeah.
The French Tory connection.
Speaking of our drops, I've received a few emails regarding the Ellis Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys, has there been anything online? Elliot, you get anything?
Got at least one.
Elliot sent me one that went to him that I liked the idea of.
Yeah. What was
which
it?
Which is...
Why would you not send that to me when I'm the one that communicates with Ellis Paul?
I don't know what stuff is going to throw you into a fit.
Emails about this, they're necessary for me to either ignore.
Matt, what did I say in the email that I sent to you?
You said, I don't know if we need to bother Jimmy with every single one of these. But also, my reaction to that, which I didn't write to you, was we can just talk about it. Like, yeah. that's the idea.
Sometimes I use Matt as a filter when I'm not sure if I'm going to bother you.
But, no, let's assume this. You're always bothering me.
Yeah, exactly. So I should just send all my emails to Matt?
No, I guess, but I need to get those emails.
There's no way. He can't win.
No, you can't win.
Yeah,
so. Actually, in this case, you got to send me those emails.
I mean, all right, just, well, I have a record now that you've told me.
But in this particular case, I knew we would talk about it on the show. Yeah. So I just was like, yeah, we'll just talk about it.
I'm not 100% sure I want to talk about it on the show.
Even off the show.
Because like, I would like it to be a surprise when it finally lands.
All right, then I won't say what, because I liked this idea. But
there's a couple good ideas. There's been some clunks.
I'll just say, like, this is an off-air convo, and same thing holds true, though. It's like, he doesn't need to send them to you. We could just talk about it after the show.
Yeah. Tell me what's going on out there. That's what I need.
All right.
You guys are my eyes and ears out there.
Did you already forward it?
No. I don't have access to that email on my phone.
Smart.
Yeah.
Real smart. That's a smart thing to do. And then, speaking of drops, friend of the show, Doug Julin, was on Seth Meyers, two nights ago.
Really?
He is in Michael Shannon's band, and Michael Shannon is doing the REM thing.
Right.
Which, and you know, my thoughts are true, but, and I love Doug. I don't know why the fuck it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why actor Michael Shannon is doing a REM tour, and then he's going to be at Sketchfest.
Right.
One night doing all of Murmur, one night doing all of Reckoning. Which, by the way, those are the two REM albums I like, and then I'm out. But I don't. It was great to see Dog perform. He's great, and he had nothing but joy on his face, and they sounded terrific.
Cool.
But I don't know. I don't.
What do they play?
Radio Free Europe,
mm-hmm.
which is not my favorite REM song of.
Did he shave his head to look a little more like Michael Stipe?
Dog? No, Dog's bald.
No. Dog. I meant Michael Shannon.
No, Michael Shannon looks like Michael Shannon with a beard.
Okay.
He's got a beard, which is weird because he's got that crazy square jawline.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the beard, though, you don't see it as well. And so...
Is there any way, because this is one of those things that's always been in my mind once I realized it. Andy Daly looks so much like, what's the guy in REM who I think he plays keyboards, backup singer. We could connect these two groups. Like, can they just bring Andy Daly, and even though he doesn't play an instrument, just have him stand
just
there?
Just have him stand there?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're trying to be lookalikes.
Well,
no, clearly, Michael Shannon's got a gorgeous head of hair and a beard.
I'm lobbying for them to be a little bit more like a lookalike band, and just get Andy Daly in there. What's that guy's name? I can't pull the.
Well, you've got Bill Berry.
No.
Peter Buck.
No.
Mike Mills.
Yeah. Mike Mills.
You think he looks like Mike Mills?
Yeah.
Mike Mills sat in on the interview, and I don't know if I agree with you that modern day.
Well, maybe not modern day Mike Mills, but like 90s Mike Mills. Looks like modern day Andy Daly.
I will take you for it. I don't.
I can see it.
You see it?
Yeah. I can see that if Andy had the right glasses in that horrible jacket, it would.
He looks more to me like that guy that used to be on. Was a music journalist for on MTV.
Oh,
what's that guy's name? Not Kurt Loder.
Oh, because I was going to say, if he changed his hair color.
The other guy.
Ooh.
What was that guy's? Chris?
Oh, yes. The guy who was like the movie guy, and he wrote for Rolling Stone or
is that
or,
what it was? It movies, not music?
Premiere Magazine or something.
Chris Connolly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Who very slightly looks, I can't remember the guy's name. Looks like the guy from Talking Heads. A little bit.
Not David Byrne.
A little bit, yeah. Well, at least now.
Well, I mean, we're all going gray and
no, but
in our own way.
Yeah, I don't see it at all.
Oh, I could see that a little bit. I see what you're getting at.
Okay, yeah, that's weird. Because they were both younger, they looked nothing alike.
Right. And now you're right.
Yeah, that's strange.
He works at ESPN now.
Who does? Chris Connolly?
Chris Connolly.
He deserves it. Does he work on the 30 for 30s? Is that what he's doing?
He's a contributor to its E60 news magazine.
Oh, I love it.
This guy's just a journalist. He's a writer. He'll do anything. If you want him to write about movies, he'll do it. You want music? Great. Sports?
He's your guy.
You got it. Israel and Palestine? Maybe not.
maybe don't go to Connolly for that. I'm going to circle back very quickly about this Michael Shannon thing to spin it in a positive light. I believe it was 3 weeks ago on this show, I declared, I want to be in a band.
Right.
Right. Maybe that's what he wants to do.
If you were at his level,
yes, of course I would.
Had the capability,
yes,
you would do it.
I thought I had the capability. I thought Mike Henry and Tony Thaxton would have written me already and said, "Who cares if you can't sing? Let's get together and jam." That hasn't happened. And so, if Michael Shannon can do that, and to your point, why not?
Yeah.
So
I think you need to learn an instrument, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I think that's what's holding everything back. Is because they.
I don't think I have the ability. I really don't. I've tried so many times over the years. I just don't. I don't think. I know I don't have the patience that is involved. I want to be able to walk in a Guitar Center after one lesson, be able to pick up a guitar and impress people.
Yeah,
and that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And B, I just don't think I have it. I don't think my fingers know what to do. I don't think I have.
So no rhythm guitar because in my mind of all the instruments, like bass guitar seems like it's the easiest, but you kind of have to be like a drummer. Whereas rhythm guitar, although it has rhythm in it. It's just being able to do the chords.
Playing chords, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I played bass a little bit in high school.
Yeah.
And I was able to do a couple songs.
Okay.
You know, A Message in a Bottle, some simple.
Really?
I mean, I know that song Sting's one of the best, but
yeah.
That song, I mean, I probably was taught it at its
simple
bass
version.
Form. Yeah.
Sure, but for the band that you're describing, that's probably okay.
Yeah, but then I bought a bass. And I took a lesson, and the bass looks great in my office. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not even sure that's true. You know what I mean? I think Danielle would be great if I said, hey, I'm going to move that to the garage and just watch her and Oliver have a parade of some sort. Oh, good, it's out of our lives.
Yeah.
We don't have to look at that thing collect dust. I'm sure that comes up. Like, I'm sure when I'm around, Oliver goes, Mom, why does Dad have that bass?
Yeah.
And then she'll go, well, son, that used to be a bass and a guitar, but then you got more records, so the guitar had to be moved to the garage, so now it's just the bass. And then, so they're probably figuring out a way, like, let's buy a new record, more records, and let's get that out of here. Or let's just get rid of it so it's not so fucking cluttered. How about that?
I mean, it's decorative.
Mm-hmm. That's my argument, but I'm not 100% sure that's true.
Can you put on the wall?
Well, if it's not decorative,
there's no wall
then.
Space. There's no. It's too covered with autographed.
How about the ceiling?
Yeah. I got Lionel Richie up there. Yeah, okay.
By the way, I have a new idea for you. Just because I heard them on the radio this morning. Maybe you should start a Kix cover band. Because
nobody watched that.
I've heard, I forget, what's that song called? That one hit.
Close Your Eyes?
Is that yeah, Close Your Eyes. I said to Elise, no one in this band is good at their job. Singer can't sing.
It's Edith Bunker. Jesus.
Drummer can't drum. Bass can't bass. And the guitar solo is just chords. It's crazy. I've never heard a heavy metal band where the guitar solo is just strumming chords. Right. I'm like, you're not doing anything. Why did you choose to highlight the fact
that there's a breakdown here?
Yeah, you have nothing to offer.
I'm currently reading a book called, I'm going to paraphrase it. It's written by Sean Kelly, who's a hard rock / metal guitarist. And he's a little bit younger than me, but he loved the same music I did. He likes hair metal a little bit more than I do, which is, I mean, he likes it a lot more than I do, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I think the name of the book is Don't Call It Hair Metal. Mm-hmm. And it's him basically, it's not him defending hair metal, but it's him saying, explaining the, don't just dismiss these musicians.
Right.
And they talked, he interviews a bunch of guys from that era. And I don't know if Kix is in there, by the way. I'm interested. I only bring it up because I'm interested to see, like, will this guy talk to a guy from Kix and point out that he's actually an amazing guitarist, but chose to do this?
Yeah.
Which, like, George Lynch kind of did. And it's interesting, like, from George Lynch was in Dokken and then Lynch Mob. And to hear him, these guys just being really honest and like, George was like, I can't write lyrics. I'm not good at it. Uh-huh. And, you know, but if you need me to get on stage and improvise a solo, I'm your guy. Like, it's an interesting book that I will, I read a chapter last night of it, and I can't tell you anything but that one sentence about George Lynch because I retain no information.
Right.
And so I will read this book. I will go, hey, that's a great book. And then you'll go, not you, but somebody will say, what did you think? Blah, blah, and I'll go, good book. And then we move out with our lives. There are two new Journey books coming out, coincidentally, around the same time.
Wow.
One that my friend Matt Wardlaw's friend wrote. Matt is a music journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And then one by some music historian. Hmm. And they're coming out right in time for this. I don't know if you saw the big announcement this morning.
I did. We played a little guessing game. She said, here's a show at the SoFi that I think Jimmy will want to go to, even though he might only care about one of the bands involved, maybe one and a half.
I care two and a half.
Oh, two and a half.
No, wrong.
One and a half. Yeah.
One and a half. Where do you? You know what? Let me. I'll say this.
Yeah.
Out of the three bands,
yeah,
I like two combined.
Yes, like you like two of them half, and
yes,
one of them full.
Yes.
So that's enough. I was like, he'll go to this.
I was disappointed because the poster has Journey, Def Leppard. And then supporting, it says Heart, Cheap Trick, and the Steve Miller Band.
Right. Wow.
And I was like, holy fuck, it's one of those. Yeah, it's like a Monsters of Rock.
Incredible.
And then it said, support changes in the city, and we're only getting to the Steve Miller Band. We're not getting Heart.
The least interesting of those three.
I would have loved if it was Heart.
Yeah.
I've seen them all.
Right.
I've never seen Steve Miller, though, truth be told.
Really?
So I'm interested in seeing Steve Miller.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe it checks a box for you. That's good.
It does check a box. And
I'm shocked to hear you never saw them.
I think this is the perfect way to see the Steve Miller Band in that I'm going to get nothing but hits, man.
And they won't play for more than an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then
they'll probably play 35 minutes, actually. Because like you still got you got co-headliners basically.
Yeah, right? But it's a stadium show. It starts at like 6:45 or something. It starts early.
Well, Journey closes that show, right?
No, I think Def Leppard does.
Really?
Mm.
I guess Journey without Steve Perry. Yeah, they're kind of not quite the same.
Or then maybe they flip flop. I think Styx and Foreigner are flip flopping on theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I thought it was going to be all five of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm in, man.
Yeah,
are you right. kidding me? I'll get there at 4 p.m. and do one of these. And that venue's, while it sucks to see a show there because it's too big, it's also great in that you could walk around and wander,
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel like you have to stay.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, in a, like at the Forum, you got a runway of back and forth. That's it.
Yeah.
But I'll probably go there. I think it's at the end of August. I think it's on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's close to the house, so I'll go down there if I can. You know, if I can go see fake Floyd, I can go. I can go see fake Journey.
Yeah.
It's got, I mean, Journey at this point only has two, and not even original member, one original member, two of the classic era.
Wait, who is it? Jonathan Cain?
No, Neil Schon is the original. Yeah. He left Santana to form Journey.
I'm saying, but who's left?
Jonathan Cain and Neil Schon.
Yeah, okay.
And then they got rid of the drummer and bass player, and just a lawsuit going on or something.
I mean, okay.
At,
I think that's, if you have to, like, as a casual, not even a casual fan, but even a, I think a casual fan would say, I don't know or care who's drumming and bassing.
I hear you. And I think the drummer they have is great. Dean Castronova, but Steve Smith is one of the best drummers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like cover magazine, drummer mag, not right. drummer magazine right. type level good.
Have you heard the drummer from Kix?
I heard from a wife of a friend of mine, that guy can't do his job.
No, it was me. I've said it to her.
Yeah, she told me that what you said.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. I don't know jack shit about music. Maybe they're all incredibly talented, but that song is so basic. It's basically like a poor man's Dream On. Even yeah. down to the subject matter, don't close your eyes. It's like the inverse of Dream On, but the piano progression is very similar to Dream On, just not as good. And it's just so basic. And I guess that was the order of the day. And like you were saying about hair metal bands, like I don't think anybody, maybe at a certain point people set out to create a hair metal band, but most of those ones we know, they were just bands, and then it was the record labels that were like, you're going to be this now, because this is what's selling, and they like threw that on them, I think.
This book will differ with you a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be that they were like, we're just a band,
yeah.
but this is what's happening on the strip. If we want to make it, we got to adjust.
Conform. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's...
You know, otherwise we're swimming upstream.
Right.
You know, but nobody... They all kind of wanted to be Aerosmith. They all wanted right, to have that right. bluesy... And Rat kind of stayed with that. Mm-hmm. Like, Rat was the one that kind of broke through where they didn't kind of sound
right.
like, you know, they don't...
Motley Crue or...
That Poison and... Yeah. You know, although Poison's a little different. But they also mentioned in there, like, that the guy from Triumph, Rick Emmett, and who does not feel they should be looped in with those bands, and I agree with him. But George, they were trying to write songs that were not just the, you know, sleep all day, rock all night
right.
type of songs, which yeah. is what the Sunset Strip mm-hmm. was really all about.
Well, Kix might have even been Christian. There's one line in that song where he's like,
I don't know that to be.
He literally quotes the Bible in one lyric. And
he's
I was like,
showing off. That's all he's doing.
It was like the Lord's Prayer. I was like, where's this coming from?
If I say one more thing about George Lynch, I'm asking you to stop this podcast. George Lynch actually was the guitarist in a gospel band down in Compton.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, you mean in the years since he was a big...
before he became...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was... Jesus. As he said, he goes, I'm this white, tall white kid with long blonde hair with a wah-wah pedal. And I was out of place, but I loved it, or whatever he said. And,
yeah.
He's one of the, he said that he was lost and he became, you know, he's now reformed, but he became a born-again Christian. Mm-hmm. And he would, I can never say the word, proselytize. And so like, he's like, that's the only time I ever like wrote songs from
yeah.
that spot. Oh, our guest is already here. Mm. Boy, that flew by, huh?
We start a little later.
Shit, Rock Talk flew by.
Yeah.
Made the show fly by. We didn't even get to the chart yet.
Oh, that's a good point.
That with the guest, right?
I guess so. We'll find out.
Before we take a break, can I issue a quick correction, which I meant to mention on the last episode?
Wait, we got a correction?
For something I said. I mentioned that I saw Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes, you did.
On the last episode, and I forgot to mention...
You didn't see it?
Turns out I was actually watching Jungle to Jungle.
Oh,
which was
interesting.
Yeah, Tim Allen movie from the early 90s. I think I said on a previous episode that Thelma Schoonmaker, Scorsese's longtime editor, had passed away, and maybe that's why his movies got longer, because he was working with someone else. Nope, she's still alive, still working with him.
Oh.
She edited Killers of the Flower Moon, she edited The Irishman, she edited Silence. So I don't know. I no longer understand why his movies have gotten longer.
I can tell you why. She's getting older, and she nods off at the editing desk, and then whatever he was like, oh, I guess this is where we pick up.
Yeah.
She just takes it from there. So scenes are a little long.
I mean, I wonder. It's an interesting thing about that kind of work is like we all know like athletes kind of you lose your fastball as you get older. Do editors also lose their fastball? Or do you have a different appreciation for like, no, let's take our time. And maybe that's their argument. And maybe it's an intentional choice to be like, hey, we don't have to rush through this. I mean, look, everyone knows Scorsese was high on coke for half of his career. And so his movies were insane in the like 70s and 80s. But in a good way, they were fun. And they very, you know, pacey and frenetic and full of energy. And I think that's no longer necessarily the case. But maybe that's just older artists saying, hey, what's your hurry? Enjoy.
Well, also, older artists no longer taking cocaine.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean,
although he's got to be coked up when he laughs at that friendly voice. He's got to do a line and then cackle.
A little bit of a residual.
I can't tell if it's a red light or if it's amber. He falls off the fucking chair. That's my impression of both of them.
Yeah. Martin Scorsese seems like he would be a great grandpa.
I agree with that.
I don't know if he has grandkids, but if he doesn't, he should adopt some because he seems like he would be a model grandpa.
I agree with you. They all get a chance to take a nap on his eyebrows. the brief time I met him, it was just a joy.
Yeah.
You know, he walks in with an entourage, of course, like he's in the mob,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a beautiful suit draping on him.
Is there a long tracking shot of him walking in?
Sure. Took a long time. Yeah. That woman was behind him taking notes. somebody else was taking notes. She goes, don't cut a thing. Don't cut a fucking thing. Let it play. Take your time. Mm-hmm. Also, thanks everybody that filled out the survey. Now closed, but I guess if you stumble upon it somewhere on the internet, go ahead and fill it out. But for the most part, we're done with you.
we got the information.
We got the information. We thank you, and we'll see if that affects play here at all. So we thank you guys for that. And I felt like there was something else to talk about since I saw you guys on Tuesday. I was supposed to go see a band called Amber Wild last night at the Echoplex, but because my health stuff, I did not go.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bummer. Mm. I was looking forward to going to see that.
Oh, maybe you wanted to mention there was this speaking of music that maybe people haven't heard of, there's a indie artist that, crazy enough, was named Time's Person of the Year this week. I just feel like we should congratulate her. Taylor Swift, good job.
It's hard to argue that she should be.
You mean shouldn't be?
Shouldn't be, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to, although I tell you what, there's a lot of right-wing whack jobs that are you're telling me this whore is on the cover of Time magazine? She can't find a man and settle down? She's 35. Slow the fuck down. And second, go fuck yourself, you self-righteous fuck.
Yeah, I think history will show that this was a completely reasonable choice.
Well, didn't they flip on her when she said vote for Biden 2020?
Oh, yeah. They hate her for very specific reasons that have nothing to do with her achievements. But, like, she broke so many records and just... It's like any time... Look, I don't care who it is, but, like, if somebody rises above this sort of fractured state of entertainment to sort of be this larger-than-life superstar, it's worth noting. I mean, like, it doesn't happen very often anymore. So I feel like... In a weird way, like in my life, in your life, and it didn't reach a lot of people, but I feel like Hamilton was the last time where there was something that was just like, holy shit, this is a big deal.
Yes.
Like, this is a big thing that's happening. But I know in reality, there's huge swaths of America that have no fucking clue. They don't pay zero attention to Broadway. Mm-hmm. But, so they don't care. Maybe they've heard of Hamilton. They don't know what it is, or they don't care what it is. But it's hard to deny that... Taylor Swift had a seismic impact on our culture.
Certainly this year. I mean, she changed the economy to every city she went into.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, like, is there a politician who was something or a sports figure?
Donald J. Trump.
Sir. I mean, are you fucking with me?
I'm actually not kidding.
On this show?
Yeah, but, he is bigger than, like, well, more yeah, people but, know but, about but, Donald
but
Trump
this
than a lot
year.
Of other. Yeah, yeah. No,
in
no,
other
no,
words,
yeah,
if, yeah. You, if you'd right. said 2017, maybe, well, I think could he, see
was
the argument.
He, was Trump the person of the year in 2017? Or it's,
he was one of those years that...
Yeah. Or the end of 2016 after he won.
And, like, and people on the left were upset about it, but at the same time,
it was
he
correct.
Was the guy of the year.
It was correct.
Because if Taylor Swift makes the same amount of money next year, she's not person of the year because that's then
she's just repeating what
exactly. And so... And I'm just trying to think of, like, is there a scientist who made a big change in our life? Or, like, I guess you might say Elon Musk because he's kind of made some changes, but not everybody cares about Twitter.
Was he one of the finalists?
I have the 9 finalists, if you want.
All right, let's hear it.
9? That seems like 4 too many by my count.
There were the Hollywood Strikers.
Okay.
I'm going to say his name wrong. Xi Jinping, the Chinese president.
Xi Jinping, yeah.
Taylor, obviously. Oh. Sam Altman.
The CEO of
ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Oh.
Trump prosecutors.
As a group, yeah. Okay.
Barbie.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
Vladimir Putin.
Well, Barbie was so.
Barbie was big,
but it was unnecessarily polarizing.
Yeah.
Again, because of folks on the right who were upset that a doll had a lead in a movie.
I mean, honestly, Taylor Swift is basically a real life Barbie. So, like, you could just give it to Taylor Swift and it covers the Barbie zone of influence.
Easier photo shoot, though, with Barbie than getting Taylor and her cat to settle down.
Jimmy King Kimmel Charles. Jimmy Kimmel made a good point. Like, they obviously did a photo shoot with her. Did they do a photo shoot with all of the finalists?
That's the question. I think we learned in the past. I don't remember there being nine.
Yeah.
I think in the past, I think they whittled it down to three, and they did do photo shoots with all three, because then here's your finalists, and show the photo shoots of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the case today.
Right.
But I remember that being in the, but I remember that, but if you prove me wrong, go fuck yourself.
Okay.
Not you. I'm talking about the emails that will come in.
Yeah.
They never did that. You're dumb.
That was a
stop listening to the show, ass fucks.
That was a Spin magazine thing.
Go ahead, get with the rest.
King Charles III and Jerome Powell, who was the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, I thought that the Palestinian people were also in the running somehow. Was that?
I thought so too, but that's not.
Wait, I saw that too.
Listed here.
Huh. Weird.
Mm. No, I saw that too.
I just heard it. I didn't know where. I don't even remember where I heard it, but.
You're not going to get an argument from me. When my dad goes to see that movie, you know what I mean? Like, my dad went to see the Eras movie.
He did?
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Oh, yeah. So so Donna, his wife.
Yeah.
You've met Donna.
I have.
Donna and her girlfriend, you know, and I'm using my dad's words because, you know, he still uses the 1950s vernacular, which I find just charming as hell.
Yeah.
Donna and her girlfriend went to see it, and Donna loved it, and then came home and was telling my dad, and she goes, you know what, Jim, I want to see it again. And my dad said, I'll go with you. And my dad said, he goes, hey, guess what I did? And he did not know I saw it. And he goes, and he tells me all this. He goes, I went to see the, and I said, what'd you think? And he goes, it was fantastic.
Oh, great.
You can't argue how talented she is and how great that show was. Like, and I don't think he went out and bought an album or anything.
Right,
but,
right.
But my point is, if my dad is going to see it, you know, and I'll tell you this, my dad's not hanging out with Putin. my dad's not with Jeff Altman, whoever the fuck that was. Who's the ChatGPT guy?
Sam Altman.
Jeff Altman. Remember Jeff Altman?
The comedian, yeah.
Yeah, he would do the thing doing his dad. He would pull up his pants. I remember the impression of his dad going, oh, that's right, buddy. You keep it up. I'm gonna kick you. I'm going to roll you so hard you're going to knock over all 10 pins. That's right.
That bit is familiar to me, but I cannot picture. I can't picture him.
I'm going to punch you so hard your neck's going to be in a different time zone. Like, it was like he would just do a bunch of those. And they all look. I don't know if I saw it today. Would I find it funny? But I'm laughing now. So why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But I remember I saw him at the Improv or the Funny Firm of Chicago. And I just didn't want him to stop doing that, because then he would go into the rest of his act, which was fine. But it was like just
do that for 10 minutes.
Just do that for 10 minutes. All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Adam Felber is out in the hallway patiently waiting, probably oiling up the spokes. You don't do that. Oil up the chains, what I wanted to say, of his bicycle. I believe he's making it our third guest to have ridden a bicycle here. Right? I can't think of a fourth. We've got Jody Sweetin.
Yeah.
We've got Rich Sommer.
Yep.
And we've got Adam Felber. Is there a...
It feels like in 17 years there must have been another person, but...
I mean, I rode my bike here for a while.
You did. Matt did.
So I have ridden my bike here. Yeah.
I can't think of another one.
But as far as guests go, because you guys are not considered guests in my book.
No.
That's fair.
I don't know. Maybe Adam will know. All right. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, gang. Matt here with some dates for you. Adam Felber is on social media at Adam Felber. And he's also on Stark Raving Reviews, the new podcast with Andre Dubuchet and him doing some characters. Sounds really funny. They're short little bite-sized entertainment for you. Check that out. He's also on Paula Poundstone's podcast. You might know him from there. You might know him from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Check out all the stuff he's doing. He's delightful. So enjoy all that. Jimmy Pardo is going to be doing his virtual Flappers show on the 15th of December. That's at flapperscomedy.com. It's a Zoom hangout. He's going to be doing bits, I think. You can request a bit. But I think it's mostly just a hangout. So go check that out if you want to do that. You can be anywhere in the world and join that Zoom. Just go to flapperscomedy.com. And then Jimmy and I are going to SF Sketchfest in January. On the 28th of January, we will be at the Gateway Theater, 3 p.m. matinee show with our special guest Janet Varney. That's going to be super fun. Hope to see you there. Go to sfsketchfest.com for tickets to that. And then we got a live stream more immediately. We have a live stream audio episode coming up for you guys if you are a tier 2 or higher. You can join us on the 26th, the Boxing Day, they call it in England, but we just call it the day after Christmas, 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. We will be streaming live. We will take some phone calls at the end of that episode, so you know what to do. Tune in at nevernotfunny.com, and then you can call us when we tell you to. So that'll be fun. And then finally, Elliot is doing another Twilight Zone improv show with Impro Theater. That is on Friday and Saturday, I believe, 15th and 16th of December, 7 p.m. show both nights. Go to improtheater.com for tickets to that, and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 33-0 of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. Our guest, Adam Felber, has joined us. You probably know Adam from NPR, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He's also there tolerating Paula Poundstone's nonsense on her podcast. But he's got a brand new podcast out with our friend Andre Dubuchet, produced by our friend Will Becton.
Yeah.
And I believe Adam Spiegelman's involved as well, right?
You know everything there is to know about the podcast.
With the exception of the name.
It is called Stark Raving Reviews.
And what is it? What are you guys doing over there?
We review... Principally, we review movies. We centered the podcast around these two characters that Andre Dubuchet and myself have been doing around L.A. for about a decade.
Okay.
And we've done some podcasts with them, too. They're just the ultimate fanboys. Do you remember the website Ain't Everything Cool?
Yes.
Or Ain't It Cool?
Ain't It Cool News.
Yeah, so we are from the fictional website AintEverythingCool.yes, and we're just these relentless geek fanboys who just love everything and want to have sex with everybody on the screen.
Okay. So, yeah. And are you doing classic movies? Doing
new releases? New we release them way before they come out, because of the post-production time frame that most of us podcasters do. And we also do a little bit of just chatting, and we'll review life experiences and stuff. But it's centered around those guys. So if you listen to the first few right now, some of these podcasts are like 10 to 15 minutes long, just tightly
nice
written.
And tight.
Stupid Andre Dubuchet, Adam Felber style comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
And you know Andre from...
A genius.
Absolutely. You know, yes. That word gets thrown around in the comedy community, and I'm hoping he's never going to listen to this podcast.
Oh, he doesn't. He hates it.
Oh, great. Great. So then I will say he is a genius.
Yeah.
That guy is just unbelievably funny.
Not in conversation, though, I'll tell you that.
No. No.
A dullard. A flat out dullard.
Oh, my God. It's like talking to a brick.
Thank you for saying it. Thank you for letting me lead you down that path so you can confirm it. I enjoyed my time working with him over at Conan. Very much enjoyed my time with Andre. And any time Andre would get something on the air, it was a home run.
It's crazy.
He very rarely missed.
Exactly. So about half of Stark Raving Reviews is Andre Dubuchet's just brilliant writing.
And then the other half is you just trying to get by?
It's me just like treading water.
What does Spiegelman do then?
Oh, the other half.
Wait, that's only...
That's 150%, which is what we give to every episode.
That a boy, Adam, give it all. They deserve it. Here's a fun fact, true or false. When Adam Spiegelman moved here from wherever he lived, I think New York.
New York.
He moved into the building next to my wife and I on the day we were having a yard sale, and he bought most of our furniture. True or false?
Obvious lie. No, it's true.
It's false. You're right. He just kept walking. he did. He bought a bunch of stuff.
And, he did?
And it's one of those things, like, I'm glad, I mean, it was one of the, like, oh, that's all gone. One guy took all that, so now the yard sale, you kind of want things to get people's attention.
Yeah.
And so, like, now the dining room table is gone, the chair is gone, so now you don't have the eye candy. Mm. At the same time, I'm glad it's gone. Also weird, though, that it's somebody I kind of know.
Yeah.
Okay, what if it sucks in a day or two, and they go, oh, I wish I didn't buy this.
Yeah, you find something under it.
Yeah.
Also, when you take away the dining room table at a yard sale, you're taking away the surface on which you're selling your old cassette tapes and shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long he kept that stuff. I got to imagine until he met a lady and then realized.
Well, he's married now, yeah, and he lives in a house where it looks like the furniture was bought not from a yard sale.
Okay, well, sir, you're implying that my yard sale furniture was not terrific.
I am. Sorry about that. That was definitely the implication. Looking back, I regret it. But that's
you're 100% right. It was. What was the name? You're from the Valley.
I am.
As is Matt, but you lived on the other side of the hill. Was it Al's Furniture on Lancashire? Maybe it's still there. There was a furniture place.
Al's Discount Furniture?
Al's Discount Furniture.
Yeah, I think I bought a couch from there.
Yeah, right? I think we all did.
I might have been to that place.
So I bought the dining room table and the chair from there.
And then passed on.
And then gave it to that sucker.
To Spiegelman.
Yeah.
Wow.
We did not have the room for it in the apartment that Danielle and I got. We did not have the room. Did not have a dining room. So there was no room for a dining room.
Do you have a dining room nowadays?
Sure.
Yeah. I bet you missed that table then.
Every day. Because the room's been empty for 15 years. So like, we got to get a table. If only that fucking Spiegelman.
And he probably sold it.
Yeah. All right, so where do they, anywhere they can get podcasts, they find this thing?
Yeah, yeah. Stark Raving Reviews is the name of the brand new podcast, so you can get in on the ground floor. Like, if you listen to your podcast and you want to get in on the ground floor, and I'm sure you have listeners who do, they have to go back something like 8 years, right?
17.
17 years. Oh, you were an early adopter, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas if you wanted to be a Stark Raving Review head, we don't even have a name for our fans yet. Like,
don't go with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That,
no.
That sounded clunky.
Yeah. I'm like your Jimbo's.
You know what? Here's the truth. I would love for them to be NNFers, but Marin did WTFers.
Oh.
And it occurred to me too late that would be a great thing to call our
Yeah, because you were there before him.
Damn right I was.
Yeah.
Steal it back, right?
Yeah, take it back.
And then,
like that dining room table.
Here's what we do.
Yeah.
You got a good call here. Let's go back to episode 3. And just
insert it.
Hey, NNFers, and then it's documented that it happened back in 2006.
Sure. And we sue Marin.
And then fuck the sound of absolutely.
And you know, you could just, on some timeline in the multiverse, you did come up with that.
Yeah. I did. But
so you're just borrowing from that.
I am.
Yeah. But so what do you call yourselves if not Jimbo's and Never Nevers?
Fans of the show.
Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of all they get.
Wow, that's rough.
Yeah. You know what? Well, the Alien Bean, my friend Gene Bean Baxter and Allie McKay, they've got their show. They call their show is called Cupatina Chat. And they call their fans teabaggers. And I can't hate it more. It's horrible. I get their, double enchant. I'm not an idiot. But
Pretend not to hate this one, because our fans came up with it on the Paula Poundstone podcast. Nobody listened to Paula Poundstone.
Yes.
Our fans are nobodies.
I love that. It.
Yeah. That's nice.
And we actually sell merch now that says I'm a nobody, and people buy it.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be very honest. Jealous.
Yeah?
I'm jealous of that.
Well, you don't have anything at the moment.
Right. We've not, 17 years, we've not come up with one thing.
That's amazing.
I bet you the fans, you know what, let's put this out to them. They probably have a thing they call themselves.
I'm trying to think. I feel like we would be aware of it, but obviously at this point. It's
so Jimbo's is still in the mix.
It's definitely not out of the
mix. It sounds a little rednecky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan. I've only let one person in my life ever give me the name Jimbo, and I allowed it. That was Mike Sweeney.
The great Mike Sweeney.
Mike Sweeney. He's the only guy to ever call me Jimbo that I didn't want to take a sword to his neck. For some reason, the way he said it made me feel like, he's a friend. Mm-hmm. Whereas everybody else seemed like they're forcing a nickname.
Yeah, I hear that.
Hey, Jimbo. No, nope. I don't like it. What was your nickname growing up?
Felb.
Just Felb.
Or sometimes Febhead, because I had a big head.
I don't think you have as big a head as they thought.
Well,
you
now it's bald. It used to be covered with hair.
You had a nice, I don't know.
Mean.
How, are you in your 50s?
I am in my 50s.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So you grew up, it sounds like you're, well, you might probably a little younger than me. I'm 74.
Okay, yes.
Did you grow up in the 70s with like the big crazy Neil Schoen from Journey type of hair? Or
It was big hair. And when I was in junior high school, I think, I actually got my already curly hair permed.
Whoa. Oh, what? Pardon?
Because I got a perm. I got extra curls put in because I was an MTV fan.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, Billy Squire, that hair looks great.
Yes, it does.
I want that. And so on my podgy little 15-year-old frame, I had that hair for a while.
Good for you. I brought in a picture once of Simon Le Bon, and I said, I want my hair like that. And the woman's like, but you know it can't be. Like she was like being honest with, and it was like, and she was right. It couldn't be. And I walked out of there, and I had this hair for about a year. I looked like Brian Setzer of the Stray Cats.
Do you have a picture?
No.
Oh, that's a pity.
No.
Honestly, I would take Brian Setzer. That's
yeah. That wasn't
great.
Bad hair
that's
at all.
That's good
it,
hair.
It, at the time, it looked, you know, because I was trying to look new wave.
Yeah.
And it didn't look new wave. It didn't. Right. It didn't check the box I wanted.
Yeah. I hear that. I look new wave even with the Billy Squire hair, but especially after, because I would buy clothing that had rubberized patches in random places.
Yes.
And now that's already I'm new wave.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
On Long Island.
All right, and then Long Island. Were you a
WLAR fan? Yes, I was.
That's the Dare to Be Different. Is that
They changed their name to WDRE while I was there.
Okay. Yeah. Was that the music you were into, or were you into like I think the band Zebra? Are they from Long Island? Are they?
I don't know. The Good Rats are from Long Island. Obviously, the Ramones were from Long Island. Hip hop was born on Long Island. De La Soul and Public Enemy and lots of others. So yeah, there was a lot of music on Long Island.
Yeah.
Billy Joel, ever heard of him?
Billy Joel. He apparently grew up about before me, but about a mile away from where I grew up.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was in Hicksville, New York. I was in Jericho.
Okay.
Oh,
my mom grew up in Cold Spring Harbor.
Okay, so, yeah. Which was the name of Billy Joel's first album.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Zebra is from New Orleans. Then it's the right band.
It is the right band, and I misspoke. So who is the power trio I'm thinking of that came out of Long Island? Or did I just assume that Zebra was a Long Island band? I'm just, there's a chance I'm
Twisted
wrong.
Sister.
I have to tell you, that's who it was, because Bruce at Omnipop, mm-hmm. who are, their East Coast is based in Hicksville, they used to rep Twisted Sister. They would book them at gigs before right. they got into comedy. So, yes, that's who it was.
You
was
know, speaking of music that was in the 80s, but also in the 70s, late 60s, and today, I did this for you on the way here.
Because, yes, sir.
You know, Spiegelman, he's such a great producer. He told me one fact before I came here, which is that Jimmy's a huge Chicago fan.
That's my favorite band, yes.
Yep, so I put on a Chicago playlist. I'm biking over.
Oh, here. You got a little, yeah. got in the mood of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I should tell you this, full disclosure, I did the same thing on the way in. For the last, here's what I do. Here's a little pre-show behind the curtain for Jimmy Pardo.
Oh.
I will listen to news and or podcasts from my house to on the 10 to the 405, and then, but on the transition from the 405 to the 101, I changed the music so I could sing along and get in a good mood before I walk in here.
That's a great
strategy.
And I'm
successful at that about 12% of the time.
Yeah. Well, that's a good batting average for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It, yeah.
Maybe just start with the music right from your driveway and leave it because I think that would help.
I got to tell you something. Having listened to Chicago just 20 minutes ago.
Yes.
It doesn't tell me a lot about your musical taste because there's a lot going on with Chicago spanning their career.
Yes.
So like, you know, if I was to name your second favorite band, I wouldn't be able to do it because I could say, well, he's a prog rock guy. So it's Rush. Or I could say, well, you know, no, that horn section is a little bit like the Phoenix Horn. So it's Earth, Wind and Fire. Or I could say, well, no, it's an 80s pop guy. You know, I could name any 80s band that had the kind of hair we wanted.
Yeah,
you're never gonna guess what the second one.
Well,
is.
I don't think it is that anymore. But I think I know who you're thinking of.
Who are you thinking of?
I think it's a funny juxtaposition.
Yes, it is.
It's Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Wow,
they're in the top five.
I had never listened to an entire Iron Maiden album. Well, no, I never have. Still haven't.
Oh, all right. Breaking news.
What's good to check in with that?
What's their mascot called?
Eddie.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Journey is my second favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Steve Perry, and Styx is in there, and
you do love Rush. You mentioned Rush
in the top 10.
Okay, so it is kind of proggy 80s pop.
Yeah, I like Marillion more than Rush.
Okay.
But I love Rush, and I like Earth, Wind & Fire, but I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of theirs. I've seen them a lot because they tour with Chicago quite a bit.
You know, on the next sunny, hot day, you could do way worse than putting on an Earth, Wind & Fire playlist,
and,
and maybe even doing a deep dive, because they are unbelievably good.
Oh, I know it. Yeah. I'm not saying they're not.
Okay.
They
don't do for you what Journey does for you.
They do not.
Okay.
They do not. Very few bands do. In fact, only one does.
You know, I saw Chicago once.
Where did you see them?
Accidentally, I went to a party. I used to write for Bill Maher, so I was over at HBO, and there was they used to put on lavish parties for their HBO original movies. This is about 10 years ago. Larry David made a movie called Clear History.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chicago is in that movie.
Yeah, because did the woman blow the
There's a running gag that your old girlfriend, didn't she blow Chicago in the 70s? And then Chicago shows up at the end of the movie. Spoilers, I'm sorry, but they do. So at the party, we show up at the big party, and it's in a park near the Arclight, and there's a giant stage, and there on the stage, believe it or not, is Chicago's gigantic, iconic neon sign.
Yeah.
And that means Chicago's going to play, and they do. They give us something like four songs, and we're hearing, and the horn section is there with them, so 6-4 sounds fantastic. Mm. And this is a real baller move, and I admire it even though I was deeply disappointed. After like four songs, they said, thank you very much, but in fact, we were invited to this party. We're not playing the party, so thank you. See you out there. And they just literally walked off the stage
Good
into the party.
Them.
Yeah.
You're lucky that you got the four songs.
We are lucky.
That's I was supposed to be at that party, by the way, because of my friendship and connection with the band, but I could not make it. I believe I was out of town.
It was a great party.
Yeah.
HBO probably spent as much money on the party as they did on that movie.
I saw the movie.
Yeah, so you know.
Yeah, you can confirm.
I'm glad you had a good time at that party. all right, so then growing up, then who was your favorite band then, out of curiosity?
Growing up?
Or now?
Back in the 80s, I would have said Talking Heads right away.
Oh.
Early 90s, probably I would have said XTC. Late 90s, I leapt back into the age of Stevie Wonder, just obsessed me. But if all in all, spanning all the decades, it's got to be Prince.
Oh, sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. No reason why it couldn't be.
Yeah.
He's the Purple King.
He's the Purple King.
Yeah. Hey, Elliot, show Adam a photograph of David Byrne.
Oh.
show him a current photograph of David Byrne. See how Adam responds to this.
It's going to take me a second.
All right.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourself while I...
What are you trying to do to me?
We're not doing it.
Are you trying to hurt me?
We're truly not.
It actually came up before you got here.
We actually had a conversation
about
this.
David Byrne came up, and we were looking at a picture.
I didn't get to go see the IMAX restoration of Stop Making Sense that was on about a month ago at all the theaters, but I understand that was fantastic.
Yeah, did you see it when it was out in the 80s?
Constantly.
Yeah.
I went to this, they moved it into a midnight showing at this theater in Syosset, New York, and my friends and I went there almost weekly for a couple of months.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
Rocky Horde it.
We Rocky Horde it, and we danced in the aisles.
All right, here's his photo. How do you think he looks these days?
Good God. That hurts me. Is he wearing a bathrobe, or is that just like a very soft sweater?
But let me ask you, but you think that's him, right? It could be him.
It's plausibly him, but it also could be somebody else.
It's Chris Conley.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Former MTV newsman.
Oh.
Chris Connolly.
Wow.
But we were all amazed at how much he looks like David Byrne.
There's sort of that somewhat popped out brown eye thing going on.
Convergent evolution, I would say.
It could be convergent evolution.
Yes.
Neither of them looked like each other in their younger days, but they've seemed to be heading towards the same end point.
Yeah.
Which is true. They will both be skeletons eventually.
We are all just skeletons with the masks on.
I think all of humanity start to look alike as we get super old. I couldn't tell you what gender or race somebody who's over 100 is. We all eventually look the same.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I knew what Norman Lear was, though. I got to be honest with you. I didn't know he was a man.
Well, he wore that hat.
Let you know. He's a fisherman.
Indicating.
Let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He wore that hat. And he did. It's funny when you see old pictures of him, like when he would, photographs of him introducing the show, which I just find so charming. Yeah. He would wear a suit and he had the mustache, but he didn't wear the hat yet.
Oh.
And you go, well, that can't be the same guy. He's not wearing the hat.
Yeah, that guy doesn't look like him at all.
Yeah.
And then you draw a hat on his head. Oh, no, that is him.
Put your costume on, jerk.
Yeah, there are people who adopt costumes. Is that your costume, or you haven't adopted a costume yet?
I think I'm a t-shirt and pants guy.
Yeah, I hear that. I've never had a signature item, but I admire the people who do it and stick to it.
Yeah.
Like,
I went cardigan for a little while. That was the thing that I was known for, wearing cardigans on stage. And then I, full disclosure, gained a little weight and the cardigan didn't look all that crazy.
Hey, you're not going to buy fatter cardigans.
No, I'm not going to. I've invested enough in the size that I thought I should have. I'm not going back to the cardigan market.
Right, I hear you. But, you know, the people who have the signature looks, I mean, I haven't seen him in a year or two, but does Paul F. Tompkins still wear that chalk jacket?
He will wear some sort of a full suit.
Like a three-piece suit, usually, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So I think when he comes here, I think he seems to have evolved to the point where it's like in his everyday life, he dresses down a little more than he used to.
He used to ride his bicycle in a suit jacket.
Be like very dressed up just everyday life.
Yeah.
But I think he still looks like he's on the porch drinking a mint julep.
Yeah.
That's his everyday wear.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But he will have an open collar now, for example.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you would never have seen that 10 years ago.
But with an ascot.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those riding goggles.
But Paula also,
she's got the suit.
She wears a little outfit.
Yeah. On stage. But, you know, if she's been here, you know that she does. She's baseball cap and t-shirt.
Thank heavens.
Yeah.
Because if she walked in with that wide tie, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. She doesn't do that, so she doesn't make it weird.
When she does standing up comedy in the local area, do you go and watch to support? Or
I have not in a long time, but I've seen her. She's brilliant on stage.
Yeah.
Probably the best crowd work I've ever seen.
How dare you?
Second best crowd work.
Thank you very much.
She's my journey.
Because, of course, Matt Rife is number one.
That's what I appreciate.
We're all on board with that.
Obviously.
Oh, dear.
Adam, we do a stupid game on this show.
Okay.
Where I read you a chart from the 80s.
Okay.
And it sounds like a perfect guest for this.
Yeah, it sounds like you know your stuff.
Well, now you're kind of setting me up for failure.
No, well, we all.
What are you, my parents?
Yes. You have brothers and sisters?
I do. A sister who's also been in the comedy world over the years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in New York, we used to host a show together, a legendary show, right across the street from Studio 54 at Ye Old Triple Inn, which is a legendary old New York comedy venue. It was called Felber's Frolics. We did it for something like 6 or 7 years.
All right, hang on a second. I think I may know your sister's first name. Does it begin with a vowel?
It does not.
Then I do not know it.
It's Susie.
Oh, I do know it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay.
She was the host of Felber's Frolics. I was the music playing sidekick. I sidekicked probably 2,000 comedians over the years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Susie Felber. Did I do Caroline's with her?
She might have.
She's been doing this a long time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she does a little more storytelling than stand-up nowadays, but she still, like, hosts stuff.
There's no question I've met her.
No question.
If I haven't, I'm making that up. All right, here we go. So we're doing a chart. Go ahead, hit it. All right, here's the deal.
Well, that puts me in a time and a place.
Here's what we're doing. Because we went through 81 through 89 of the Billboard Hot 100, but just the top 20.
Okay.
We're now going to move over to the top rock tracks.
Oh.
The top rock tracks.
Wow, I might have done better with the one that you used to do, but let's give it a try.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to just go back because now it's been months, so there would be different songs on the chart.
Not enough time.
Okay.
So, but we're starting with 1980?
This is actually 1981.
Okay.
1981.
Right. He jumps around randomly. We started with 85.
Like, 85 would have been better for me.
It's not as random as you think, by the way. Here Almost. We go. Number 20. Mm-hmm. And again, hands on buzzers. And you buzz in using your name.
Okay.
And this is not as hard as you think.
I'm scared.
You're being defeatist. And I don't like it. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Freeze Frame.
Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Adam.
That's... Freeze Frame is Jay Giles' band.
That's correct. Correct answer.
We all know it.
Yeah.
We all
know it. Great tune. And it's got a keyboard part. And I'm a keyboardist, so.
You love it.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
What, do you got a Korg?
I don't have a Korg. I have a Yamaha.
They make motorcycles.
They also make keyboards. In fact, you should know that because on most of their iconic ballads from the 80s, Chicago was very well known for playing the Yamaha DX7 preset number 8, the Rhodes sound effect. They helped make that keyboard.
I did not know that specifically, but I appreciate the
that's cool.
The trivia. All right, you ready? Number 19, Harden My Heart.
I know it.
Harden My Heart. This Matt. Also was Hell on the top 40. Yeah, Matt.
I'm going to harden my heart.
That's it.
Gonna follow my tears.
I'm going to turn and leave.
It's like, it's not Pat Benatar. It might be Laura Branigan.
It is not Laura Branigan.
Okay. Is it? It's not Heart.
No, but you're. No. It's a band name.
Okay.
It's a one word band.
Berlin.
No, come on, man. Take the game seriously.
It's not Scandal.
No way.
That's too early.
Quarter Flash.
It's Quarter Flash.
Oh, there we go.
It's Quarter Flash. There we go.
Oh, so it's not even a female.
No, that's just...
Yeah, it is. Absolutely Quarter Flash is.
Okay,
I cannot tell you her name for $1 million.
I couldn't either.
Garen, give me the initials. I'll pull it if you give me the initials.
Is it Susie Felber?
It's not Dale Bozio.
No, that's missing person, sir.
Yes, it is.
Double R.
Oh, God. Is it Rita?
It's...
Rita Rudner.
Is it Rita Rudner? Is it
wow. It's definitely Rita Rudner.
The multi-talented Rita Rudner.
Lead singer of Quarter Flash.
Just give it to me.
She's a vocalist and a saxophonist.
Yeah, she is. She does the sax solo in that.
That's nice. Weird.
Right?
Yeah.
Ladies shouldn't play the saxophone. That's a man's instrument.
Not while they're singing.
No. Well, come on. You're going to press the ventriloquist act of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I say blank Sterling, does that give you any kind of... It's Rindy.
Rindy.
Rindy Ross.
Rindy Ross.
Rindy Ross. Nah. I would not have been able to pull that.
All right, here we go. This I predict this one nobody gets. Jealous Lover.
Oh.
Just another jealous lover.
Nah.
Rainbow.
Wow. These are rock tracks. I got to remember.
These are rock tracks.
Because no way did that see the pop charts, even for a heartbeat.
I would say it maybe reached number 67 at
probably,
best.
Yeah.
At best. Although I got a lot of MTV.
Rainbow, stuff. That's Richie Sambora's band?
Richie Blackmore.
Richie Blackmore.
Richie Blackmore, formerly of Rainbow. No.
This is Rainbow.
He's no longer in the band. I should tell you. Okay. He's left. My Girl. And there's no way you'll know this.
Whose version of My Girl this is?
It's not a cover. It's Gone, Gone, Gone. You've been gone so long. You've been gone, gone, gone so long. Gone, gone, gone. You've been gone. Chilliwack. The name of the band is Chilliwack.
Nope.
They're out of Canada.
Even if I recognized the song, I would not have been able to name the band.
I remember Chilliwack, though. They had another... rock's chart hit.
Did they?
There's no reason why I would know that band and not know that song. Yeah, I know Gone, 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 Gone so long, but there's some song by Chilliwack I was aware of.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
That's all I can do.
You could, you could click on Chilliwack right in front of
I'm not going to do it. No, I have a photograph.
Right? Oh, okay.
All right, number 16, Flying High Again. Flying High Again.
No, sir.
That's Ozzy Osbourne. Osbourne. Okay. All right, here we go. Number 15, Hands on Buzzers. Okay. Our Lips Are Sealed.
Elliot.
Adam.
I'm going to go with Elliot.
Oh.
The Go-Go's.
That's correct.
It is.
There we go. Number 14, Trying to Live My Life Without You. Trying to Live My Life Without You.
Oh. This is rough. This is a bloodbath here. This
yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to get easier when we get to the mid to late 80s.
I'm surprised that, how do the Go-Go's show up on the rock track?
Seems weird, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess because they were playing instruments. But yeah, it's funny because like their albums and their radio hits are basically just pop music. But I guess they were a band that played.
They were considered alternative in some ways.
Right, right.
Because they were women, maybe, in a band.
But that song is nothing but top 40 to me.
Right.
Nothing.
That's agreed. Agreed.
There's some more. There's some others on here that you could question.
Don't belong on the rock checks?
I don't think it does.
I guess there was no word for alternative back then, so they just had to lump them in with rock.
That might be true.
Probably what happened.
81, yeah, absolutely.
That was Bob Seger, guys. Bob Seger.
Okay.
Trying to live my life without you, babe. All right, here's one. Possible Hansel Buzzers. The Lunatic Fringe. Lunatic Fringe.
I think I'm going to know this song, but I can't think of it.
I'm going to guess.
Go ahead.
Adam, I'm going to say that was Black Sabbath.
That is incorrect.
See, because Ozzy had something on the charts, I feel like they felt like they had to throw something out.
Sabbath with Dio had to get
to show that it's still there. It sounds, it sounds metalish.
It does.
I can tell you it's not.
Okay.
I want to say they're also Canadian. I could be wrong about that entirely.
Well,
might be from Ohio.
Then it's Rush or Brian Adams.
It is neither of those. So maybe my Canadian.
Corey Hart.
It is also not Corey Hart. Too soon, sir.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Way too soon. Ann Murray.
Still
no, it's not Ann Murray. It is not Triumph, but that's another
good. That's a good guess.
Canadian guess. Red Rider.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Red Rider. Lunatic Fringe.
But I bet you I've heard it.
You know, they are Canadian, right?
Yep.
Oh, thank heavens. Here we go. This one I do not believe belongs on the rock charts.
Okay.
The Night Owls.
That's the song?
Yeah, it's called The Night Owls.
Wow.
I don't know that song.
Elliot.
Yeah, Elliot.
The Night Owls.
That's what I was going to get.
I'm actually going to play a little bit just so you can hear how this.
It's like a big country situation.
Is that like a Jeff or Talk Talk or something? Yeah.
It is not Jeff.
I like it. This is a band that said, hell with 1981. We're staying in the 70s.
Yeah.
We were comfortable in the 70s.
This is not a rock chart song.
We've heard of this. I've heard of this band.
Yeah. I don't.
Away.
They're from, I want to say Australia.
Well, it ain't in excess.
No, wrong.
Doesn't help me at all.
The Little River Band.
Oh. The Little River Band.
We'd never put them on the rock chart.
Never.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Country before rock.
And they're from Australia.
I think so, right?
Yep. Yeah, they are.
There.
That's where their little river is.
I guess they have little rivers over there. I didn't know.
Well, they're just an island continent. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, number 11 down from number 9 last week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hang Fire. You've heard the song a million times.
Yeah. That's the Rolling Stones.
That's correct answer.
Oh. That's off of Tattoo You.
All right. No extra points for that sort of thing.
I like that one. That's a good one.
All right. We're hitting the top 10 now.
Okay.
I think you guys are going to get all these. Number 10. No, you're not going to. You will not get number 9. Number 10, Centerfold.
Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
That's also Jacob.
Yeah, they're back on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back
two in the top 20.
Yeah, same album.
Number 10 and number 20. Right?
Crazy.
And that was, what was that doing? That was up from 14, my man.
All right.
And Freeze Frame's up from 28. So they're both climbing the chart.
They're on the way up.
Na 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 na.
Which, by the way, how did they not get sued by the Smurfs?
I always wondered that myself. But which came first is the question.
I'm going to say JL.
I'm going to say Smurfs.
The Smurf tune?
It's actually hundreds of years old. The Smurfs theme.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an ancient folk music song.
They emerged from Bavaria or something. They definitely had their theme song all worked out by the time.
But Gargamel didn't know copyright laws, unfortunately.
This is completely off topic, but I don't want to forget about it. Is anybody else yet watching the show on, I believe it's on Prime, I think, that 007 Race to a Million?
No.
I've seen of it, but I haven't watched it.
I didn't even know it started.
It is, we love it.
Yeah.
It's amazing race.
But with spy shit.
But not even spy. Yes. I mean, that's forced in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brian Cox spent all of one day in the studio doing his part. but it is, it's great.
Okay.
And you see these adventures and some of the shit they have to do. It's really, really good.
Well, when this amazing race season ends, it'll be a perfect thing to start up.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, and you only had one point of reference for that. So it's like, it's Amazing Race, but with a different title.
Is that what I said?
Well, you just said it's Amazing Race. There was no meat
I said
something.
Like, with spy stuff, but you said not even with
spy
stuff.
Well, I mean, they say spy stuff because...
But it's the Amazing Race.
But it's amazing. Like, you have to, they have to find a question at the end of each challenge. And if they answer the question correctly, they get to move on.
Okay.
And they win money along the way as they go. And they're competing just against themselves.
Oh.
And, but
that's weird.
You will see what they have to do. It is,
that sounds fun.
We're enjoying it very much.
What if they do a crossover with Amazing Race?
Oh my God.
And they have to sabotage Amazing Race.
Oh,
oh my God.
I would love that.
That sounds like an idea.
Well, I'll tell you what I say. All right.
Oh, we finally got to It's the Night Owl. Yeah. Now I,
took all that
now
time.
I feel like I know that song.
All right. Here's the one I don't think you'll get. Number 9, Magic Power.
Oh,
Magic Power. I'll tell you this. They've come up before. They've come up twice now in this episode.
Oh.
They've come up twice in this episode.
Twice in this episode.
Heart?
No.
They
came up once.
Magic Power. Oh, Steve Miller Band?
No.
They like to sing about magic.
Yeah, but they hadn't come up at all.
Well, before you got
here. And they
here,
don't like talking. To sing about magic. They had one hit that involved magic.
They love it.
It's all magic. Every song's about magic.
Yeah. No,
fly like an eagle? You think eagles can really fly? No, sir, it's magic.
Okay, fine. Okay, fair.
Yeah. Right? Whenever you've seen an eagle, was it flying?
No.
Right.
Just standing there.
Then Steve Miller gets around, and all of a sudden that thing takes flight.
What?
And poof. Yeah. Here's your clue from Canada.
Triumph.
Yes. All right, here we go. Number 8. Down from number 7. Little TNA.
Oh.
I looked right at Adam thinking he would know this.
Oh, yeah. Adam.
Yes.
That's also Rolling Stones.
That is correct.
Also from Tattoo You.
That is correct.
She's my little rock and roll.
All right. Number 7. Hands on buzzers. Going to be very easy. Under Pressure.
Madam.
Matt.
Queen featuring David Bowie.
That is correct. Number 6. Down from number 4. Destroyer.
Matt.
Adam.
Elliot.
Kiss?
No.
Oh,
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Kinks.
Kinks, correct answer.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Kiss, too. That's not a song. That's an album.
Paranoia, Big Destroyer. There's a little green man in my head. That song. Yeah.
I don't know it.
It's a good album. I think it's Give the People What They Want. It's a really good Kinks comeback album from 1980.
Look at that.
I'm too young for 81, I think.
Yeah, we're gonna get to years that you'll enjoy. you'll know this, though. Number 5, down from 6, Abacab.
Matt.
I'm going to go with Adam.
That's Genesis.
That's correct.
Oh. Nice.
Here we go. Number 4, down from number 2. No Reply at All.
There's no reply at all.
Right, so Adam knows it.
Adam?
Yeah, Adam.
Phil Collins?
More specific.
Genesis. Please.
Yes, another Genesis.
Okay.
Number 3.
Two in a row on that.
Down from number 1.
Yeah.
Start Me Up.
Elliot.
That was Adam.
That would also be the Rolling Stones.
Three in the top 10.
The Tattoo You was a massive hit. I think Waiting on a Friend is going to be number 1.
I guess because it's the rock chart. I just realized, like, that's... So, like, rock radio, yeah, they were just playing
just
all
rock
the
radio,
album
yeah.
cuts. Like that.
But it's kind of like the top 10 nowadays. Like, right. Because of the weird way they try to do the charts, like, when Drake has recently dropped something, so he's, like, 6 of
everything,
the top 10.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because they're tracking... TikTok and YouTube. And
yeah, and you put on their new release, and all of a sudden, you know, that's all there.
All right, here's number 2, up from number 5, 11th week on the chart, guys.
Wow.
Hands on buzzers. You're going to get this the second I say it. Every little thing she does is magic.
Adam.
I'm going to go with Adam.
The Police?
That's correct. All right, here's number 1.
I think we all tied. I think we tied for that one.
That was clearly give it to the guest.
My pleasure. And number 1, 19th week on the chart.
Holy shit.
Up from number 3. And I don't believe this belongs on the rock chart. Waiting for a Girl Like You.
Matt. Elliot.
Yes, Matt.
Like Foreigner?
That's Foreigner. That's a correct answer.
I've been waiting for a girl like you.
That was...
Come into my life.
Here, they were known as a rock band.
Yes, they were.
So program directors went, well, certainly got to play the new Foreigner.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but it belongs over on the AC chart, boss. Yeah. It's Foreigner.
You know who you want to look up, though, is find out if... I want to know what Love Is ever made it onto the rock charts. Because
well,
if it
I
did, the rock charts are bullshit. That's
I a can't good do that
I
yet because
can't.
We are not to 1980. That, by the way, here's fun fact.
Okay.
Fun fact. That album came out today in 1985.
Oh.
Really?
December 7th, 1985. D-Day. That's not D-Day. It is D-Day.
It is D-Day.
Yeah.
No. Is today D-Day?
Pearl Harbor Day.
It's my brother's birthday.
Happy birthday to your brother, Garen's brother, Aaron.
Yes, Aaron and Karen. They're twins.
Elvis?
Wait, do you know his brother's name? It feels like something we should know.
Yeah, but I don't.
Holy smokes.
How many years have you been doing this?
Yeah.
Is
11?
It Rita Ruzzi?
Is it Susie?
Who's that?
Is it Susie? All right, give us the first initial.
K.
Is it Kevin?
No.
Ken.
Keith.
No.
Keith is a good guess. Keith Gary. Keith, what's your last name? Cockrell.
Keith.
Oh, Keith Cockrell. That got his mornings.
Kent.
But Kent. Here's the thing. His name is Garen, yeah, so it could be any noise that a mouth can make.
Yeah.
Killian? Killian? Is it Killian?
Is it Kendall?
Karen.
Karen rhymes with Garen again.
Yeah.
Codger.
That is your sister.
It's Kyle.
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 I don't know
Cockrell.
Who he got Kyle, and I got...
Because your parents
Elvis's
love Elvis.
Middle name, twin brother's middle name.
Kyle stinks. Garen's creative.
Thank you.
No offense to our many listeners that are named Kyle, by the way. We have a lot of very close friends named Kyle.
Especially those up in Canada. That's always struck me as a Canadian name.
Kyle does, huh?
Yeah.
To you?
Yeah.
The two guys I know from the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe the Canada, the United
emigrated.
States.
Not Kyle Ryan. He's from Chicago, isn't he?
I thought Kyle Ryan was from the East Coast and then moved to Chicago.
Oh, no? I don't know. That's a good question.
I will guarantee he's told me.
I
retain zero information. We know that.
I just know that he was in Chicago working for The Onion, and then he moved here.
Yeah, but I think he moved from New York or somewhere to
maybe
take that over.
Yeah, I can't. I have no. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm ashamed to say I don't know.
I'm embarrassed because I think he told me this morning.
Oh God!
You know what? There's only one way to get the answer
Let's
to that.
Text
yeah,
I got to text him. And what if he answers? I've told you this.
Ask him if he knows Garen's brother. You know, one of those Kyle meetups.
Where did you grow up? Oh, he texted me the other day that I did not even see. He's the one guy. I have a problem with his texts. Sometimes I don't see them. Like they don't show up as new.
Huh.
And then I'll have to see.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you have him on. You just click the info button, and then
yes?
He might be on.
You might have muted him or something.
Yeah, you might have muted that.
Where's the info button?
Next to his name, or click his name, and then
info.
My phone called him the other day.
How'd that go?
Well, I hung up immediately. Because I did, hey Siri, call wrong. Kyle, and
you were trying to call
him. It for some reason called him instead of my brother, and it did it again two nights ago to Jesse Thorne.
Oh,
I said, hey Siri, call Jess, who I've said a million times, and it just decided to call Jesse Thorne.
You don't need that. You need to hear that beard on the
Siri's
phone.
Trying to widen your circle a little bit. Siri doesn't want you to be in a rut.
Just what? Called my brother.
Oh, you did?
My phone just called my brother, yeah.
Well, you just said Siri called
my brother. Yeah. Yeah.
It does not give me that option, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But all right, but I believe
you don't even see the thing, the switch there?
It says info, and I click on info, and it does not give
me. Let me see this.
I can't give it to you because I got to give you the information from Kyle first.
Okay.
And then I'll give you the phone. Houston.
Oh.
So,
Canada.
Did I know that?
So, Canada. I'm going to say thank you. You will find out why when you hear the next episode.
Yeah.
We
make all of our friends listen to our podcast.
I'm guessing.
He's a friend because of this show, in fairness.
That's true.
Okay. So, all right. So, here's the deal. All right. So, you go to Kyle, right? And then you're telling me that if you go over there.
Maybe you don't. Well, it says right there, hide alerts, and you don't have it checked, so that's the end
so
of that.
So it's just a mystery, yeah.
Just a mystery as to why sometimes, days later, I'll go, oh, shit, this is...
Yeah.
But who do I blame for that, Adam? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I blame Kyle.
You do? You blame him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to blame Tim Cook, or as I call him, Tim Apple.
Tim Apple?
Tim Apple, yeah.
Now, admittedly, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. You and Paula are very pro-Trump on your show. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make sure that we're talking about
Paula went full MAGA, early, before it was even a thing.
She was in early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for her. She deserves it. She deserves all that success that the Proud Boys will give her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, we have... Boy, name a week when we don't have a Proud Boy as our guest on the show.
I can't.
No, you can't. No, Paula's been pretty outspoken.
Oh, she's very outspoken. Have you guys, out of curiosity, and then I'll drop the politics, but we lost a lot of listeners by being very outspoken against Trump. Did you guys see a drop off in listeners when Paula, or is Paula's audience maybe baked in that they already know she's going to be leading that direction?
I think it's a little baked in with Paula. She's never been shy about talking about what she believes. She's not a political comic, but she just mentions it, as part of her life. Also, we're a newer podcast than you.
Right.
I think we started during the Trump years. So, it wasn't like we were going to lose anybody by occasionally, and she had a character she did on our show for two or three years, which was French Trump. And it was essentially just Donald Trump with a French accent.
I would assume a bad over-the-top sort of 1960s movie version.
Oh,
of
absolutely.
Person.
Yeah, like Peter Sellers type.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Love it. I got to listen to this show. I like both people involved. Mm-hmm. What I don't like is the idea of that time being taken from me. That's
right.
Yeah, and we take a lot of time. I don't know. How long is your average episode?
Like 2 hours.
Us too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and for a while, we talked about maybe kind of like keeping it down, keeping it digestible. But the people who actually listen to our show love the long shows.
That's what seems to be the what we're learning as well. And then I'm also of the, we all drove here.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's our job. Yeah. So why would we go after an hour and 10 minutes and go, see ya?
Yeah, there's no real reason to leave.
See you Monday. Yeah. Well, we didn't talk about this. We didn't talk about this. Too bad. See you Monday. Instead, we exhaust every goddamn topic. So the next day when we come in, we got, what did we talk about? We talked about everything yesterday. And then we talk about ghosts for 4 hours.
I don't
Adam,
have any ghost
you just have the one sister, Susie.
No, I've got a brother.
What's his deal?
He lives in New York City.
Yeah.
And he lives in Hell's Kitchen. He's not currently working.
And is he older or younger than you?
Older, 2 years older. Kind of one of those lovable New York eccentrics that you read about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you in contact with him quite a bit?
I'm going to see him over Christmas. The whole family's going to fly out and stay with my sister in Weehawken, New Jersey, right across the tunnel.
And who goes with you? Are you on your own? Are you married? I am married.
I've got two kids right here in the Valley. Yeah.
How old are the kids?
My son is 15. I'm going to see him in a production of Cabaret this evening.
Oh, wow.
In
who's
which
he playing?
He plays Herr Schultz. He wanted MC, but the kid who got MC should be MC.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. And my daughter is 11.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Those are my kids' exact ages.
Oh, really?
My daughter, though, is 15 and my son is 11.
And are you here in the Valley, too?
I'm in Burbank, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. And so your son is in the, like, our, his daughter, my son. Your son as well, doesn't it? But
yep.
Son is also in the I should announce.
Yes.
He got one of the leads in
Midsummer Night's
Midsummer's.
Dream. Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know it well. Demetrius, is that a name?
Maybe.
Is that it?
Midsummer's
Dante's Inferno?
No, Midsummer, one of the four
Dominic
lovers?
Dunn?
Is that
Yeah,
who he
one
is?
Of the four.
Okay, so there's Helena and
Hermia.
Hermia.
What did I say?
Demeter, maybe?
No, Demetrius. No.
It is Demetrius.
It is Demetrius?
Yeah. I got it right.
Fantastic. Well done.
And then who's the other guy? Leviathan? I always call him Leviathan, and I know that's wrong.
He's a young man who was engaged to a young woman, Hermia, who was in love with Lysander.
Lysander. Yes. Yeah. How old is your son?
He is 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he just turned 16 in September. So kind of, again, the same. Is he your son a junior or a sophomore?
He is a sophomore.
Sophomore.
At VAPA, the Performing Arts High School downtown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's really in.
He's super in.
Great.
Yeah.
You have to drive him there every day?
No. He takes the subway. He loves taking the subway.
Nice.
Puts on his AirPods, listens to music all the way
at
there.
At 15.
Good for him. Yeah.
And where does he catch it? Right there at Universal?
At North Hollywood.
Oh, right by the car dealership.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. Does he walk there? Does he ride his bicycle there? Do you drive him there?
Usually we drive him to the stop and he walks home.
Barbie, hiccup.
Because he's running late every morning. You know, obviously they have to run late every morning.
Yes, obviously. Uh-huh. There's no question about it.
So you have just the one son? Or
That's it. That's plenty. That's all my narcissistic
really
head could handle.
Yeah.
And he's great. We're very lucky. It sounds like we all are.
We
all got great kids. Very, very. Well, I don't use this word often because it's not my bag, but I mean it. Very blessed.
We are blessed.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag. What is your beautiful wife's name?
Jeannie Simpson.
Jeannie Simpson.
Yeah.
You say it like that as if, would I know her?
Yes.
How would I know Jeannie
You'd
Simpson?
You'd have seen her in things, but you wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah?
That's Jeannie Simpson. Yeah, she's an actress.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact, some of you seem to be young enough to have possibly watched the PBS show Wishbone in the 90s. No, not that young, huh?
No,
it was a PBS show about a Jack Russell Terrier that read classics of literature and imagined himself in them. And he would put himself in there, and so he'd be in Romeo and Juliet. With a human cast.
Okay. That sound familiar.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and that was my first TV writing gig. And Jeannie is in about half the episodes as an ensemble.
Is that how you met?
No. We met, and then she slid my script under the door nice. Over there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And you're married, what, 16 years now?
Married for, 20 years.
20 years.
20 years.
Great.
21 years.
Great. You're, what, 25?
I'm 49.
I know how old you are. You're married 25
years. Yeah, no, 23.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
And you?
It'll be 20 years married next year.
Wow.
We're together 25 years.
That's a long time for a stand-up who travels.
Yeah. Well, I sobered up. That seemed to
seemed
to help, and then I got the job at Conan, and that seemed to really help, and so I was able to stick around a lot more. But yeah, I'm glad. I'm very, very grateful. I don't have to do the Paula Poundstone life of
She still travels every weekend. Every week, because that's what she loves to do.
Yeah.
In fairness, there's a lot of comics who are like, well, and I can settle down with a gig, I will settle down with a gig. But Paula loves going to talk to audiences all over the country. That's what she does.
I would, too, if I had that built-in audience like she does. I mean, and I do have that built-in audience, but not. I can't go to a city and fill a 3,000-seat theater.
Right.
And she can. And I would like that as well if I just had to show up, do one show in that place, maybe do a second night somewhere else the next night, and then come home. It's the three nights in the same location. That seems like a long time to be gone.
Right. And for me, it would be the getting on the plane again and again every weekend. Mm-hmm. There are weekends that you just want to spend at home.
Yes. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It is exhausting.
Well, and Paula travels with merch.
Oh, she brings her own merch?
She brings her own merch.
She doesn't send it in advance.
There's an infinite number of easier ways Paula could approach her life, and that's one of them.
Do we talk to Wendell about this? Who do we talk to about
Wendell,
this?
Wendell, yeah. We could talk to Wendell about this, but he wouldn't be able to help. Because Wendell is great. Wendell is Paula's assistant, and he does all kinds of things for her. But he also makes things more complicated.
I agree 100% with you. What does Wendell think my last name is, by the way? He's only been told the correct name 1,000 times.
Prado?
I would accept that.
Okay.
Prego.
No.
Pedro.
No, but I get that on the phone from people sometimes. Mr. Pedro? Why would it be that?
Okay, great, well, that's great. Just simple dyslexia, isn't it?
That's what that is. What do you got?
Pardon?
Nope. I'm going to go completely off the board. Pando. Jimmy Pando. Pando. And
It's not a bad name.
I hope he's now thinking it's a running gig or a running bit. Like, I hope he thinks.
It's not.
There he is, Jimmy Pando. I'm like, nope, still wrong.
It does make
you know it's
oh, he's not doing it to be funny. Oh, no.
That's not Wendell's
bag?
That's
not Wendell's bag.
All right.
I call him Pando. No, that's not him.
Oh, that's
but I like Pando. That sounds like a 70s TV detective.
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking it's like it's an animated show about a fast-talking panda bear.
Oh, Pando,
Pando?
A scammy panda?
Yeah, but I'm obsessed with 70s detective
shows. Pando, you're so off like the force. Turn in your badge and your gun. If you do this, you're doing it unofficially.
All right, I'll get to it. I feel like pandas are slow talkers.
I think we just decided he was a fast-talking panda.
That's why they call him Pando.
Yeah.
He's a fast-talking panda. So he's
meat-talking.
He's chewing on sugar.
Yeah, it's like imagine Jimmy
Pardo voicing. It's me talking. It can't be more...
very good. So,
are you trying to take that? Don't fucking very good me on my own show.
Very good, sir.
Dickhead. This is not the Elliot Hochberg hour.
Why are you trying to recast Pando?
Yeah.
He already got the part.
I'm Pando.
He's Pando.
I understand now.
Yeah. Very good. What I wanted to say was...
But in the reboot...
In the reboot, I would guess he's a slow-talking guy.
Okay.
He's Billy Bob Thornton in
Well, good luck. Good luck trying to do that version,
Yeah, you're
Pando.
Not... That's not going to fly.
Yeah.
Pando's fast-talking.
That's a nice nod to the past that Jimmy gets a role in the new Pando.
Thank you.
Can I recover by saying what the... Pando doesn't eat bamboo shoots. He eats sugarcane. So he's all sugared up.
Guess what you can't do?
No?
No. That does not... What did you ask? Redeem yourself? Is that what you say? No, you're not understanding Pando, man. You're just not getting. You're not getting the concept of Pando.
All right, then let me.
He's not fast talking. He's hyped up on sugar. He's me.
Yeah,
I can't be more clear. It's
and you're not hyped
on
up on sugar.
It's a panda bear with Jimmy Pardo's personality
That's
and
it.
Voice.
That's the
right. That's how it was pitched.
You don't see me sucking out a pixie stick, do you?
I mean.
Tired of the industry trying to change my writing. Like this was the thing. Where
well, here's the thing though: is that we do have the opportunity to do product placement for sugarcane, and that's kind of what I was trying to subtly throw in there.
By the way, I'm going to tell you something. If we don't get merch that says Pando with me as a
fast
panda detective,
absolutely has to happen.
Somebody has to make that, and we will sell that shirt. But okay, so that's happening. That's thought number one.
Right,
thought
so
number two
Pando's
is
happening,
and I think you'll agree with this. And you've only been here a short period of time.
Right.
He's our Wendell.
Yeah.
He overcomplicates things. Uh-huh. Right. He clearly doesn't get humor.
Right.
All right. In my defense,
and sometimes you find yourself yelling at him, and you don't even know why,
dude.
It's like preemptive yelling.
You
right?
have nailed it.
Yeah.
In my defense, and this also will look badly for me, but I think I only half heard the premise.
Yes, you were on your phone.
Yeah.
I'm also going to say
that looks badly for you.
Yeah.
This is going to be something I'm going to say, and I'm not doing this to cushion me just punching you in the balls.
Yeah.
That shirt looks terrific on you.
Thank you.
Your haircut looks nice. You look very handsome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that shirt is very flattering on you.
Oh.
We can't see it. Can you stand
Take a look at that shirt. Doesn't it look nice on him as opposed to what he usually walks in here wearing?
I don't know what he usually wears, but turn around.
What the hell?
No, I'm kidding. You know.
I got a chair in my way. It was not...
It's very 60s. It reminds me of, like, remember on Mad Men when that one guy came in and he wasn't wearing a suit and you're like...
It's that.
It's that guy.
All right.
It looks good. In fact, if you threw a blazer over that, it would actually look very nice.
Ooh.
As well.
Sure. Well, you saw my jacket, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw that costume and I didn't comment on it because I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Get up. Was it a get up?
Oh, hang on. I got an update, guys. I got an update from Kyle Ryan.
Oh.
We got more information.
What more information is there than Houston?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this because I enjoy your scoffing. I left Houston at 18 and experienced adulthood in Chicago.
Ooh.
So I say I was raised in Houston, but grew up in Chicago. I'll see myself out. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And, so and I still say Houston's the answer.
Yeah, you can't say grown up if you move there at 18.
At 18.
Yeah.
Go.
Cut your teeth, maybe.
Forgot about that.
That's a good one. Who is that? Who gave
that
to us?
That is performed by Takur McCullough. It is written, I believe, by Scott Kramer, and then
Tori Jackson.
Tori Jackson is the operator at the end, and I'm imagining Mike French is somehow involved.
That's a 4-person joint.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that.
All 10 seconds of it.
We appreciate
a lot of fathers.
Appreciate anybody that gives us one of those. All right, it is now time.
I also like that. That's one of the few of our drops where it's based on a song that's younger than 20 years old.
Is it?
Yeah, that's Lady Gaga.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, oh boy! To me, it sounds like an 80s song that I can't pull.
It has an 80s production quality to it.
It sounds like an 80s song to me.
That's Lady Gaga and Beyonce collab Telephone.
I see.
It's a good song.
I'll
take a look
for it.
Go check it out. You'll like it.
There's an 80s song that's reminding me of.
Yeah, what is what is that?
Because I don't get sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that sample it, maybe?
Oh, what is it? Because, I mean, to me, I did not know it was this Lady Gaga. I thought it was that 80s song because of our love of the 80s on this program, my love of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I just assumed it was
sound
that.
Very 80s, yeah.
But... Adam, you nailed it. What is that song?
Yeah, right. It's because I don't get sleep.
It's not Blondie, but it's got that sort of... It's not The Waitresses. Oh. There's no way to find this out. I mean, there's no way to...
There is. There's an app that you can sing to.
You can hum in it, but it never really works.
It doesn't work.
Doesn't Shazam
It's
going to
tell
now?
Us it was...
Soundhound? Is that what you're talking about?
Soundhound, yeah.
Does anybody have that on their telephone?
Yeah, I think I did.
All right, then put it up to...
I'm going
to
make Adam do it.
Yeah, he's got the best...
He's got a handle on it. I think I have it. Yeah.
Oh, but you know what? Because I Don't Get Sleep is from a different song.
It is?
I think that's from Feel Good Incorporated.
Okay, you ready?
By Gorillaz.
There's a Richard Marx song called I Get No Sleep.
No.
Get off sleep. That's not helping us.
Right. Yeah, no.
Adam's figured out.
Because Feel Good Incorporated, you know, with that's Gorillaz with De La Soul guesting.
Right.
And that's the I Don't Get Sleep.
I will take your word for that.
All right, let's... everyone, quiet on the set.
Shut it.
I'm not going to
worry. Everybody shut it.
Adam... hum this, or I don't know if we call that humming, but
warble, because it feels high in my mind.
Okay. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
That's a please.
It's reviewing it. Tap the button when you're done. Oh,
we're done.
Oh, we're not doing that again.
No,
we couldn't find that one.
Yeah, no, they couldn't find it.
All right, well, we're never going to find that. But it certainly reminds me of that. Hopefully a listener will be able to write it in so I don't go to my grave not knowing this. Garen, guess what I need? Elliot will help us out with this. I need Garen to leave the room.
Oh, very good.
Oh. Adam,
yeah,
are you comfortable saying your children's names?
I am.
Could you do that now for me?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
The daughter is named Vivian.
Vivian, love it.
Yeah, and the son is Baz, short for Sebastian.
Love it.
Nice.
Baz, like Sebastian Bach. He calls himself Baz.
Baz Felber.
Thank you, bud. Speaking of Sebastian Bach, you know, he was on that Masked Singer this season.
He was?
Yeah, I saw a little clip. He sang I Was Made for Loving You. He was the tiki cup or whatever the fuck he was. And I saw the clip because I like Sebastian Bach. And it reminded me that my wife and I watched a full season of The Masked Singer, and I think I want to throw myself off a building. That show sucks.
Yeah, from moment one when I watched some, I was like, I could invest myself in this, and then I could also never watch it again. I chose door B.
Yeah. I can't believe we did a full season.
How did you do that?
I don't know, because the judges are fucking in my way.
Yeah.
And then all the unnecessary audience shots of people like that are clearly pickups.
Yeah.
Of who people trying to act like they can't figure it out.
Yeah.
It is overly produced horseshit.
Yeah.
And I say, if anybody listens to the show, you work on that. You heard me.
Yeah. Okay.
Bring it on.
We actually know a fan because he comes to our live shows at Flappers who works on that
show. I'm not gonna blow up his spot and say his name.
No, but he knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're calling him out specifically.
I'm not.
It's his fault.
I'm glad he's working over there.
No, I'm sure it's a great job. He's one of what I find interesting is he's one of the few people on the planet who knows who is in the costumes before.
Is he the dresser?
No, he's like the one coordinator guy who has to like, you know, I don't know, move them around. There's like crazy secrecy on the set. So there's only like three people who know, and he's one of the three people.
You have to be really into being surprised and delighted at once to enjoy that show.
Yes.
I mean, if that's the sensation you're after, that's your drug.
Also, but there's no way there's any one person who even knows all of the celebrities, because there's such a weird range of like rando TV stars from like, you know, 3 years ago to a legend from the 70s. And
right.
Like, you can't possibly be interested in both of those people.
You can't be delighted by both of them. And right. They find the people on camera that
right. Oh, they sure are.
Yeah.
They lose. Yeah. They fall out of their chair.
Can't believe it. He was wearing the big bird mask.
Jason Priestley?
I
didn't even know he was alive.
I'm 12. What is it? I thought about this. What does it say about our country, by the way, that many people, I thought of it myself, and I did not tweet it out because a million people got to it before I did, was when George Santos got kicked out of Congress. The first thing was Dancing with the Stars, a Masked Singer, don't even think about it. And so many people tweeted that out because that would be the go-to of those producers.
Yeah.
We got to get him on these shows.
Of course they're going to do that.
But why wouldn't garbage. Because he's garbage.
Well, they've had so many garbage people. Spicer was on, right?
George Santos is worse than Sean Spicer.
Fun fact about George Santos.
Your brother.
I don't live there anymore. He's my brother. But he is the congressman, or was the congressman, that represented mine and Billy Joel's district.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
He's
the Nassau County, Long Island district guy.
Wow. And but you don't have family there anymore.
No.
They're not.
My sister's in Weehawken, my brother's in Manhattan, and my parents have passed away.
So sorry.
We got nobody there.
All right, good for you. You got out just in time.
Yeah, I know.
You have to live through the
he wouldn't have won if the Felbers.
Damn
been
right,
there.
The Felbers would have something to say about it.
They would have said the line that stops here. That doesn't metastasize to Washington.
Good for you.
Jimmy, what famous historical event happened in Weehawken, New Jersey?
Oh,
that's good. There's a plaque there, you know.
I'm sure there has to be.
You'll have to give me a clue.
Well, you obsessed over something related to this for, I'm going to say, 2 years of your life.
Jesus. Something to do with Hamilton?
Yes.
That's right.
What historical events, noted historical events, took place just across the river in the life of Alexander Hamilton? What historical events involve Alexander Hamilton?
There was a duel.
I did not know it was there. Did I know it was there? Do they mention?
They say Weehawken. And, yeah.
I don't understand a word of that thing. that rap mumbo jumbo.
Yeah. You know what's funny? My daughter.
The kids with their hippity hop.
Just this week, she was like, my friend and I were singing Hamilton randomly today. And she's like, you know what? That's really good. I'm like, yeah, we obsessed over it for years. She's like, yeah, but I was 10. I didn't get it then. And she's like, now I'm older. I actually appreciate it. Like, I realize how much, like, I liked it then. I thought it was great then, but now I'm older and I'm now realizing it's even greater than I realized it was, because she wasn't old enough to appreciate.
She recognized the composer, like, right? Or the
arranger.
The musical arranger.
Yeah.
She recognized him in the lobby. Yes. Wow. How obsessed she was.
That's pretty obsessed.
She was deep into it. But I think just like lyrically, she didn't really realize. Like, oh, I go, oh, maybe she didn't have enough to compare it to.
I don't think she also, like, to your point that we talked about once on Podcastathon, when I brought Oliver to see it when he was 8.
Yeah.
He understood what he understood,
right.
And he didn't understand what he didn't understand,
right.
But he still loved it.
Of course, it's great music.
That's what's crazy. Yeah. It works on a lot of levels.
You know, my neighborhood cover band, we've been vowing to, as a novelty hit, amidst in all our classic rock, we've been vowing to cover You'll Be Back. Because the lead singer wants to do it, and I can play it.
So. Yes.
Yeah. So
tell us
we haven't done it yet.
About this band.
Oh, I'm in a band. I'm in a neighborhood band, and I did a podcast about it for about a year, last year.
What's the name of the outfit?
We change our name all the time.
Okay.
They did not like the name I chose for our last pre-pandemic gig, which was the Adequate Bar Band. That's my favorite. But we've had tons of names. Right now, we're called Super Spreader, with umlauts over the U.
Okay.
And the,
I like
E.
That. Love yeah, it. Like and when you say a cover band, all genres or specifically
all of them, country
rock?
And Western. No. it's a lot of classic rock. And one of the kind of gags, except it's absolutely true, is like whenever anybody in the band chooses a song, it's something without a keyboard part. Oh. I just have to be like, God damn it. Really? You're going to do that again?
Yeah,
you're
going to pick the. Cool.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
It's not cool.
But you can insert your keyboard.
I
in
do.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
At least with a bass line.
Yeah, or well, we do have a bass player, but yeah, I could double the bass line.
Double them up.
No, we have plenty of keyboard songs.
Please tell me when you're playing.
We have a gig in January. I don't know where it is yet, but I'll let you know.
We're
just there because playing music is fun.
I love it.
We like covering tunes that we like. That's the only reason.
Oh, I want to know, especially if you're playing some place where I can have a sandwich.
Yeah.
I could have a...
We only play Sandwich Shop.
Great. We had Subways, perfect. The Paneras.
Yeah. Well, we haven't worked our way up to the big chains yet.
Oh.
We're in the small indie sandwich shops.
Well,
that's a circuit, though.
Go back to the Adequate Bar Band.
Yeah, I love that. Isn't that a good title?
Love it.
Super Spreader's kind of fun, though.
I think you're underselling your talent if you call yourself the Adequate Bar Band.
I think it's right.
I think that's what's funny about it.
Yeah, but then people go, yeah, these guys are just adequate.
We are totally adequate to the task. If you go to a bar and you hear the songs that we are playing, you're like, I love these guys. They are adequate to what I need tonight.
Okay.
I didn't pay $90 for a ticket.
Yeah.
I went to a bar and there's a band.
Let me ask you a question. Do I know anybody else in this band? Are they also in the biz? Like, and
they're all in the biz. I don't know if you would know any of them because they're not comedians. They're not stars.
I only know stars and comedians. So
yeah,
I appreciate
so no. So no, you wouldn't know them.
I can't wait. Honestly,
we're really fun.
Oh,
and the podcast was called Dad Band Land. And the idea was, you know, me and my lead guitarist have this neighborhood band. We talk about that for like 5 minutes and then just bullshit about music that we obsess on for the rest of the show.
Is that podcast still available out there?
It is still available.
I've been very clear. I don't listen to podcasts, but that one sounds like one I would enjoy.
Oh, Dad Band Land is fun. There were four of us doing it. We stopped about a year ago when our network went under.
Who were you on?
We were on Starburst.
Oh, you were.
So were me and Paula.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to hop. Me and Paula had to hop. Dad Band Land, not that nimble.
Didn't clear the gap.
Where did you guys land? We're at Glassbox Media right now. They're a company out of New York, and we love them.
You do?
Where are you guys? What is this?
We're on the one I think it's called None of Your Business.
Oh, yeah.
Familiar with that
we're
one?
Independent.
We're independent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had our share of networks.
They can be problematic, especially when they fall apart owing you $30,000.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's what happened with the Burns.
That's what happened with Starburns, yeah.
Paula
wants to wage a campaign asking the parent company, you know, Dan Harmon's company, mm-hmm. to you know, pay us the money that they owe us. Starburns had spun off in an independent entity, Starburns Audio.
So they're able to legally not have to pay you.
Maybe legally. Does this have to really go to a lawyer place? I don't know. But I know that we did $30,000 worth of ads.
That's a lot that we never
got paid for.
Yeah.
You deserve that money.
We deserve that money. We did the ads. They collected the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're not alone, right? I think every show over there got screwed.
Every show.
And it happened,
knowledge.
If I'm not mistaken, you woke up one day and an email that was in your box telling you that you're done.
That everybody's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And all the employees were laid off kind of overnight, too, to help wind things down.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath. I mean, you guys, you up here in your ivory podcast tower with your consistent source of income, you couldn't see what was happening to the little guys down there. But last year was kind of a bloodbath for podcasts.
Wow.
Over the last year
or
so.
I did hear shrieking in the distance.
Yeah.
I wondered what it was.
That was the little people going out like Dad Band Land. You guys and the Poundstone Machine, we turn on. But Dad Band Land went away. But we might come back at some point, and it's a really entertaining podcast.
Great. I look forward to listening to that. Really look forward to seeing this band.
Do you need a lead singer.
No, he doesn't.
We have one. He's the one who wants to do You'll Be Back from Hamilton. Okay. And you have a voice.
No, I was speaking for Jimmy. Jimmy is on a maybe lifelong quest, or at least adult long quest.
Oh, no, lifelong.
Well, you were in a band in high school, yeah, and ever since then, I think he's just been longing for the thrill of...
Jimmy, do you want to guest in on a one of our gigs? Like just do a guest vocal?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Of course I do. Okay. But you know who doesn't want that? Anybody that's there.
Really?
Including you guys.
It sounds like you can carry a tune a little bit.
Not enough to do that. No, I can't pull that off. I need to be really? With other guys that will just let me sing in a garage, and then we go, okay, see you next week. And we never really perform anywhere.
What if you go, but they provide a backing track?
or you sing with our lead singer.
No, that he would be angry that I was ruining the song. I can't do this. No. Okay. I appreciate the offer.
I sincerely wonder, though, if you did have, like, karaoke tracks, they will have a guide.
I've seen Jimmy do karaoke, and it's good. It was good.
Well, what did you see me do?
I don't remember. It was in Bloomington. It was...
I did Peter Cetera there.
Yeah.
Wow. Why would you do that?
Because it was a charity
thing.
That's
a mistake.
I'll tell you why, dick fuck. It was a charity thing, wow. And they got to do a duet with the comedians.
Okay.
And the woman that won, chose to do the duet, Next Time I Fall, Peter Cetera and Amy Grant, with me. So that is why. Would I ever have picked that? No.
That's really hard.
Because, yes.
He's just got this iconic sounding voice. Yeah. So everybody.
Next Time I Fall.
Yeah.
In love.
Now you're hitting Jimmy, notes, you're sick, but right? You don't sound like Peter Cetera.
Right.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Jimmy, you're sick right now.
It sounded pretty good.
It sounded okay.
See? He's in a band. You fuck off. He's right.
But no, I wouldn't have made that choice. That's
no,
I've
never.
That's like, I'm going to sing a Hall & Oates tune. No, you're not. Don't do that.
Mainly because you don't have the rights. Oates won't let you sing it anymore.
Yes, right. Get a restraining.
You grab your phone. Are you going to show?
When I thought that you might guest in on, I was going to read you from our playlist to see what songs.
Oh, yes, of course.
And I don't know if you know any of these songs. I mean, now I'm going to have to call it up again.
Oh,
but
yeah,
these are some. Okay, this is a list of ones that we're working on right now. But okay. We just started Suffragette City, and we sound good already.
Suffragette.
Yeah, no, not that one. Then.
Okay,
You'll Be Back, as we said. Oh, you might Take Your Mama by Scissor Sisters. That's a great song.
Oh, I couldn't sing that. That's way too high.
Yeah, it's way high.
That's like Micah.
Sequestered in Memphis.
I don't know that song.
Hold Steady. Oh, it's a good song.
No.
In Between Days by The Cure. You're 80s guy.
I might be able to pull that off.
You might be able to do that. You just have to sound like you're breaking down as you do it.
Yeah. Well, I probably will be because the audience will be throwing things at me.
Oh,
so
yeah, but don't
natural.
Take it personal.
Why not?
Because it's only your voice. It's not you. That's the thing to remember. Love My Way we covered. People love that song.
I bet you could sing that.
Love My Way by the Psych Furs?
Yeah.
You could sing that.
That's a really dull part for me. Iconic part, but a really dull part. Because you're just playing the xylophone thing. And if you stop for 1 second, everybody's bummed.
Didn't the saxophone player for the Psych Furs just pass away?
Oh, I don't know.
No, my sister went and saw them this summer. So
the Squeeze.
With Squeeze.
Yeah.
And weirdly, Squeeze warmed up for the Psych Furs, which is a little counterintuitive, isn't it?
I think that the Psych Furs is a stronger live act.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen them both, and I think Squeeze is a little bit of a snooze live, and the Psych Furs are a really good live band. That's my take.
Okay.
And I've spoken.
Their saxophonist passed away November 20th.
Yeah.
Their saxophonist.
And his name is?
Mars. Mars Williams.
Mars Williams, who played with another band, too, that...
The Waitresses.
Waitresses, yeah.
I'm looking for our playlist, and I'm not finding it yet.
Okay,
but we did Just What I Needed, the Cars. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That Franz Ferdinand song, Take Me Out.
You don't want me doing that.
Okay, The Strokes, Last Night.
Mm.
No,
Jimmy, are you having trouble deciding
on
a song you would do?
Okay,
with us?
Yes, I am.
That was, I requested that. That's from Tick, Tick, Boom, the Jonathan Larson musical.
And why
nobody,
did you request
nobody
that?
Knows that song, but it's funny to me because it's a song in that show called Johnny Can't Decide. And I just thought it would be fun. I was obsessed with that show for a little while, and I just thought it'd be funny if we had a drop that was Jimmy Can't Decide.
I think it's hysterical.
I love that.
Matt, do you know, I don't have who did it.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Matt.
It was sent in a long time ago.
Yeah,
back when I was really obsessed with that movie.
And we finally get some use out of it. So thank you, whoever sent that in.
Yeah.
Speaking of drops, here we go. Sitting cross-legged on the floor. and Garen sucks. All right.
I realize that guests have no, like a first time guest comes in, they have no idea why every song ends with Garen sucks.
Oh, they can figure it out. they met him in the hallway.
Okay, that's true. Yes,
I felt like I was there.
No one's ever asked that, so that yeah, kind of proves your point. Yeah. No one's like, wait, why is it saying Garen sucks?
How dare you?
Seems like a weird thing to say about one of your cast members. I think they all see the joy in it. It's ridiculous fun. Also,
Garen sucks.
But because we're going in a different order, because you start with the letter game, because we're matching last week's guest, Kara Klank,
yeah.
With the letter O.
It's the letter game.
Matt, the letter is O. You have first dibs.
Okay, so what we know about Kara Klank, and I'll share this with you so you have a little bit of a heads up, Adam. It's she hosts an SVU podcast.
Okay.
A comedy show about Law & Order SVU. This feels like a guy, I think he was on one of the Law & Orders for a little while, Oliver Platt.
You fucking
Was he? Am I right about that? That's on one of those?
I don't know. I mean, until you said that.
Wasn't he on one of the Law & Orders?
Was he on Trial by Jury, maybe?
I feel like he had like a...
I can visualize him in a trench coat.
Yes,
that doesn't mean
you.
That he was on it, but it's a signpost.
Yeah. If he wasn't in the cast of one of them, I bet he was at least in an episode.
Oh, he had to have been.
You know, an actor.
I feel like I've seen him eating a Danish on a crime scene.
Yes. But,
right.
In a trench coat.
You can visualize it easily.
He's on The Bear?
Yes, and he's great.
Oh, he's so good on
so
The Bear.
Good, man.
Yeah, he's really good.
Everybody's good on there. I mean, that's, yeah, that's great, like saying, great you, know, show. You know, all the acting on Succession's terrific. Yeah, no shit. Oliver's watching that. He's...
Oh, he wasn't watching it with you at the time?
No.
Okay.
Because it was...
Because he was too young when it started, I guess.
And now he's... And I think they're on episode 5 of season 1, and he is, of course, loving it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Loving it. He has no idea what's to come.
Is that your son?
What?
Is that your son?
Yeah, my son, Oliver. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not Oliver Platt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although he may also be watching.
Oh.
Eating a Danish and wearing a trench coat. Yeah. And like, hey, how did I miss this? I'm in it.
I'm in. Garen, anything on that? Oliver Platt?
He was in a bunch of the Chicago shows. Chicago like, Med.
Okay. He was?
Yeah.
So maybe he's contractually...
over there.
Not allowed.
Does he bring his own trench coat?
He's one of the guys. You know, if you're going to audition, you got to have a trench coat. You got to have a doctor's...
Doctor's outfit, yeah.
Doctor's outfit.
Wait, maybe it's kind of confusing.
I mean, his
you see now why every song ends with the...
Yeah. Well, I've looked at his IMDb and I didn't see Law & Order.
But his IMDb must be a mile long.
Yeah, yeah. He's been in everything. He's been in video games.
Couldn't you just type in Oliver Platt, Law & Order?
He was in SSX3.
Is that true?
It is absolutely true because I was at some party with him in New York like 20 years ago. And I was like, hey, you are in my favorite new video game, which was this. Like,
a snowboarding game, right?
Yeah, it was a snowboarding game. And it's great. And I was like, you're in it.
He's just a
snowboarder? He's one of the characters. Yeah.
That's hard.
And he wanted to know all about how that came out because he's like, it was an unlockable character. It's like, I'm not good enough to unlock my character.
No, that's funny.
Yeah. So the confusion is that he was on a short-lived drama called Deadline, which was created by Dick Wolf, who also created Law & Order. God. And he was on it with Bebe Neuwirth, who I think was on one of those other.
Oh, she was on a Law & Order. Yeah, she was on trial.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why I got that.
Is this obvious trivia? Are the Chicago, like Chicago Fire and all those, aren't those also in the Law & Order universe?
It's the same network, but
I thought they were crossovers.
I don't know.
There might have been. No, that can't be a crossover because Law & Order is New York.
I bet they could get on an airplane.
No, I think there was. I think
they're not allowed. It's actually the one thing that's different in their universe. Yeah. They don't have airplanes.
There's no
in
flight.
That world.
Yeah. My wife was on an episode of SVU.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. She loved Ice-T, didn't love Belzer.
Belzer was not pleasant to
sounds,
her.
Yeah. That rings true to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing nothing about it.
She said that Ice was terrific and Belzer was disdainful of everyone, including Ice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I could see that as well.
Yeah.
Was she a special victim?
No, she was a dragon slayer.
What?
That? You know, these shows are so formulaic now that the writers have like code for every scene in the show. And about 35 minutes into any Law & Order show or any procedural that's like Law & Order, somebody hands a vital piece of evidence that will eventually help catch the killer.
Oh.
That's at the 35-minute mark. It's called the Dragon Slayer scene. And the person who hands the evidence is the Dragon Slayer. That was my wife in an episode of SVU.
And back when Belzer was still alive. So like 7-8 years ago in that area?
It was more like 10 years ago.
Oh, goodness.
Mm. I mean, that show's been on a long time.
Yeah. Was she on in a scene with just the two of them, or is Mariska Hargitay there as well?
Mariska Hargitay was not there. It was the two of them. She was a a research assistant for the professor who turns out to have been running the horrible ring of child entrapment kind of thing.
I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed that she wasn't playing like a character who ran a D&D game, and she was the Dragon Slayer.
Oh, that would be great.
D&D. That's what I was picturing.
Well, he's a writer. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm gonna whip.
You know the formula, so.
Oh yeah, I do. Well, I know that part of the formula because that's the scene my wife was in. I couldn't tell you anything else about it.
Okay. I'm not going to use that with my wife. Was this the Dragon Slayer part? Because she watches SVU.
So oh yeah.
Throw that around. All right, my guess was going to be Oliver Platt. I'm going to go with Orlando Bloom.
That's a good one.
Mr. Katy Perry.
We now check in with the Pop Culture Reese. He's over at the Pop Culture Reese Info Desk. That is sponsored by Kennedy Todd. Head over to Kennedy Todd. Use promo code PARDO, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Garen, what's going on? I mean, you told us last your dog is having some health issues.
Yeah, we pretty much can. The vet seems to be positive it's a brain tumor. I got a medication I'm going to start giving him. But I don't know how he's going to react to it, so I'm kind of, it's just waiting.
You're kind of house locked at the moment.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's weird. The weird thing is to see him doing what he's doing, which he's not walking normal. He's falling all over the place.
Oh,
dude.
But he's still him.
Yeah.
So it's just a weird thing. Like every time he lurches, it hurts me, which is kind of, I don't know. It's just, it sucks.
Sorry, dude.
But I don't know what time flying I'm looking at. It could be, who knows? I don't know. Hopefully this medicine does something and helps it. Yeah. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But other than that, that's kind of all that's been going on.
All right. Mm. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Keep us posted, of course.
Of course. Will do.
Now,
wow, I think
what's your guess?
There's no.
This show is called Never Not Funny, right?
Yeah.
He's an old dog. It's
Sorry.
Not unexpected, but it still sucks.
How old is he?
He's almost 14.
Oh, yeah, that's old.
Yeah. Dexter.
Dexter.
Oh.
Named after the murderer, right? The serial killer?
The serial killer who killed serial killers.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be named Brody. That was my first name. And I told my mom that. And she's like, you can't name your dog Brody.
Why?
She's like, everyone's going to think you named him after that idiot from the hills.
Nobody's going to think that.
No one would think that.
No, I would have thought Jaws is what I went to right away.
100% what it's from.
It's also your favorite movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that ruined it. Well, so immediately I was like, okay, fine, Dexter. Like, that's the
poke your nose. You stay out of my business, Michigan. That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
I see this dog every day.
Yeah.
I like shit that
you want to nag somebody, nag Kyle.
It's crazy she thought that the hills was going to resonate through culture so much so that people would never forget the name of the guy.
You can't call him Brody.
That's so weird.
That's
Brody. You mean from the hills?
Yeah.
No, Jaws. You're wrong for everybody. No, it's actually from Jaws, if you can believe it.
But you're not the first, and you won't be the last at all.
All Brody all the time over there, the hills. All right, let's check in with the mayor of Whoville. He's back there. What
did he say?
Oh my gosh,
he did not. I apologize. Thank you, Elliot. Oh, you got breaking news?
No.
Oh, I thought you said. Oh my gosh,
he did.
Yeah.
No, I said, oh, my guess.
Oh, my guess.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Oliver Hudson.
Ooh. Oliver Hudson.
Yeah.
That's Kate's brother.
Jimmy sat on his lap once.
No, I did not. I sat next to him with his son sitting on his lap.
Yeah.
His, I want to say, 12-year-old son?
I like my version better. Yeah.
He was a very nice man. Yeah. Very nice man. All right. We say hello to the mayor of Whoville. He's in Palos, California. He was out late last night. Big doings last night. You have a class last night.
Class last night. It was another Twilight Zone class. It was a nice class.
Hey, when's that Sondheim thing happening?
So it looks like the Sondheim is going to be maybe the 12th of January. It's a Friday night.
Is there any other night you guys can do it?
Honestly, we've had to. They've been going back and forth trying to figure out a date because people are out of town and other. So this is if it ends up happening on the 12th, it's going to be the 12th. It's not going to be.
I'm not fucking around. I don't think I can make that.
Oh no!
Let me tell you.
You've got that week long January 6th celebration that you do every year.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
It starts on the 6th, but it just goes for like
kind of forever.
Once you start partying.
I don't think we'll talk about it.
All right, there's been so many people who are like, well, I can't because that weekend is Martin Luther King weekend, but if we wait too long, then it's too far away from our last class. And
what's the Sondheim thing?
Yeah, tell them.
So over at Impro Theater, they do something called Improvised Sondheim, and they are starting to teach it. And so I am taking the class to do that. It's fantastic. It's so fun.
Impro Theater. Is that Dan O'Connor's thing?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. He's a great guy.
He is great. Yeah. I've known Dan a long time.
I will tell you this. Now, all ball busting aside, he has an amazing voice.
Really?
That gentleman can sing.
Yeah. Fantastic. And you do improv, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I came up through the musical improv community.
He can sing.
You enjoy the Twilight Zone.
And I enjoy when you do that Camelot thing.
Yes, the Camelot.
He's very good. Mm. You guys should have crossed paths in the past.
We probably did at some point. I only see the top of your head, so I don't know. That guy.
Oh, Kilroy.
Yeah. Didn't always have the facial hair either.
Thank God. Wait, what? Which side did I land on that?
I'm not sure.
I don't even know what that. Yeah,
you like the facial hair? You don't.
I actually do like the facial hair, but
I think it's not only do I like it, I think it's necessary.
I guess that's what I was saying.
It's better with the facial hair. Not everybody enjoys facial hair, but
well, they're wrong. Yeah. On you, it's better.
It does make me look a little older, but I am a little older.
I want to see a full beard.
I've done that before. I don't like it.
I just want to see what it would look like.
I got pictures.
No, I want to see it live.
I'll tell you what.
Grow it, would you?
I will grow a beard if you grow a beard.
Well, I've done that many times.
No, at the same time. See?
What's that?
That's me punishing him for asking me to do it, because he knows what it's like.
But if I do it, will you do it?
If you say you're going to do it, sure.
Okay. Well, let's pencil that in for maybe March.
Okay.
March sounds good.
Yeah, because it's cold in March.
It's a good time of year for beard.
Yeah. We know I hate beards, right?
You tried to grow one a little while ago, and you couldn't do it.
I can't do it.
You just hated the feeling.
I do not like it. I do not like it.
Well, you do eventually get past that.
But I don't want to get past it. I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, beards are stupid.
Thank you. Thank you. Felbert gets it. All right. What's your guess?
So other ones that I had thought of have been taken, but I believe this isn't a bad guess. I'm going to go with Oscar Nunez.
Oscar Nunez, friend of the show, Oscar Nunez.
And I feel like maybe they crossed paths. Am I wrong about that?
I'm going to say you're wrong about that, but who knows?
Because they did a lot of, comedy and theaters and stuff. I thought that they... Anyway, that's what I'm saying. Oscar Nunez.
But it doesn't have to be somebody she knows.
No. We're just trying to figure out a way...
We're trying to get inside her head.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
I don't know her, so it's going to be easy for me.
We landed on you, sir.
All right. I have a couple in mind. I'm going to go with, because I just saw a movie he was in... going to reach back into the past. I'm going to go to Omar Sharif.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the great Omar Sharif. Mr. Dr. Zhivago.
Yes.
Great.
I saw...
What'd you see?
Lawrence of Arabia at my friend's house. Oh, he's got this home theater that is worthy of that movie.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Giant screen and Atmos sound and all that. And I watched Lawrence of Arabia, and it was fantastic.
Is he in the band, this guy?
No. But he is in Dad Band Land. He's our chief technology officer.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got a CTO for this.
We have a CTO for Dad Band project. Land. Yes. It's not a failed project. It's a podcast on hiatus.
I heard it. At the first sign of trouble, this thing fell apart.
Our CTO left. Yeah. No.
All right. Let's find out together.
Yeah.
Here we go. What was your guess?
I said Orlando Bloom.
Oh, that's right. Orlando Bloom.
Nobody went Orson Welles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Elliot, give me the fans.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's happened now, Adam? These are the fans weighing in. They're trying to match as well.
They don't win anything, as this song is about to explain.
You don't win money, don't get fame, don't get nothing when you match his name. He's first off the winner, obscure sometimes. You can match for bragging rights. What do fans think of?
All right, go, give it to me.
All right, so I'm going to 11 just because I like this one. Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, right? Orson Welles. He's also a director, Matt.
Mm-hmm. He did it all.
Right, the third man.
Started in the theater.
I just named him.
What?
No, Orson Welles. I said Orson Welles a second ago.
I don't know why. I don't want Elliot pretend like
you don't have to match these folks.
I want to match every one of your listeners. Who's next? Who's the next listener?
Next up, Oscar Isaac, which was my next in line.
Oh, sure.
God, that's a good one. Think of him.
Current actor.
That's big name.
Yeah.
Omar Epps.
Yep. Omar Epps, sure.
Now, this one I don't know. Oded Fair?
Yeah, he was in The Mummy.
He's
in The Mummy.
Very good. Another one I don't know. Oscar Homolka.
I don't know that one at all.
Also in The Mummy.
We have a basket for all these actors now.
I don't know who that is, by the way.
I don't know.
Look it up, Garen. Look it up.
Garen.
Oscar Homolka for spelled like it sounds.
Sounds like it sounds.
Look it up.
Garen sucks. Did they say Garen sucks?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yes, they do.
He was in a 7-year itch.
Oh.
Wow.
Which year was he?
Oh, way back.
1898 to 1978.
Okay.
That's a long life.
Damn.
Yeah.
He's full life. And we don't know who the hell he is.
We miss him.
No. We miss him. Certainly the talent.
I'm pouring one out for him right now.
Go ahead, sir.
This was on my list as well. O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
You know what? That Naked Gun opening scene, still funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had to explain that to my kids that, you know, we don't have to approve of the guy to believe that that scene is funny.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
All right, number five, the aforementioned Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
Number four, the aforementioned Oliver Platt. Number three, the aforementioned Oscar Nunez. Ooh. Number two, unmentioned.
Yes.
Owen Wilson.
Owen
Wilson. Oh, that could be the one.
That could be the one.
That could easily be the one.
That could be it.
And number one.
Yes.
Aforementioned, Oliver Hudson.
All right. Oh. Here we go. Let's find out.
Crazy number one.
That's what you said, huh, Gary?
Yes.
All right, let's find out. All that matters is what Kara Klank said.
Yeah. That's right.
And
she's probably only going to give us one.
Well, we'll find out. I'm going to go to her electronic mail, which came in almost immediately after the show last week.
Nice.
But she's probably praying to God that someone matches her.
I'm scrolling
down.
How long
has she been in this?
She followed the directions.
This is her first week in it. So.
Okay.
Keep scrolling. Yeah, she did a great job.
She did the
almost there. She did it right.
Oh, she did a great job with the scrolling. I thought you meant she named one that we
God,
picked.
It would be great if she did all that and then forgot to put the
name. Just go stop.
We do have a winner.
Hey.
Okay.
We do have a winner, and it's the one that we all wanted to use. Oliver Platt.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oliver Platt. Get the cash from the coffee can.
Someone match the winning name. And it's been such a long time since someone won.
All right. Adam, what we do is we pay this out Joker's Wild style, which means Matt's going to hold his hand out, and we're all going to count to five by fives.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
He says, yeah. He's excited about it. Here we go. And
five.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Upwards of three people now have understood how to do that.
clear directions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Speaking of clear directions, give us again the name of the new podcast.
I don't remember.
Oh, you're already out of it.
It's Stark Raving Reviews.
All right, let's hope this thing doesn't go belly up like that Dad Band.
Hey, come on. Dad Band Land is still available.
No, Matt said it right. The first sign of trouble, you guys just fell apart.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen. You think Dubuchet is going to have the strength as to go through the troubles?
No. Are you kidding me? He's already half out the door.
I've got an idea for your fans for that show. Ravers.
Ravers.
Yeah. Ravers.
That's really good.
All right, bring that to the guys.
Better than Starkers.
Yeah, I don't think Starkers quite works.
It makes me think of that Iron Man character.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, Tony Stark. Yeah. So I don't want that.
No. Ravers is good.
All right, so the name of the podcast name is?
Stark Raving Reviews.
Stark Raving Reviews. Andre Dubuchet, yourself, our buddy Adam. And what does Spiegelman do?
He's kind of the host.
He's the host.
Okay. Yeah, he's the foil, the guy who's the straight man.
Okay.
Yeah, in general, because we're all over the map. And we just dropped a 9-minute episode wherein we review Aquaman, Napoleon, the new Albert Brooks documentary, and Songbirds and Snakes, the Hunger Games sequel.
Wow.
In 9 minutes.
In 9 minutes.
Yeah, and it's tightly written.
You guys are moving.
Yeah.
And it's a scripted program?
It is semi-scripted.
Okay.
The reviews are scripted. The bullshitting, which is not on that 9-minute episode, is bullshit.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And our buddy Will Becton, of course, is the producer on that.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And a good guy.
Yep.
A good guy. He edited together all my Parto Patrols.
Oh, nice.
That's how I know Will.
That was another one of your 70s TV series.
That was my Conan O'Brien behind-the-scenes interview.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
Yeah.
Is he on the air? Is that why I don't do those anymore?
I think something happened. I forget. Maybe Switch Networks or...
Might be on a different network.
It might just be a hiatus. I don't remember.
It might just be a radio star now. Adam, thank you for being here.
It's been great.
This was a joy.
I would love to come back someday.
Well,
if I can earn that. You don't have to decide now. You can not decide right now because you've already got a no on your face.
Yeah, so it's gonna be an internal conversation. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
I would say if Dad Band Land comes back.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's pressure.
Twice in one show after never hearing it.
Yeah.
A joy. What an absolute joy. And you're part of the Paula Poundstone experience over there.
Yep. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. We just got a Patreon page after 3 years of me recommending it.
All right. Seems like she would have jumped in earlier on that. But
She was like, I don't, she doesn't love asking her fans for anything.
Oh, we get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
That's relatable.
Yet at the same time, that's all we do lately. So
there you go. Thank you. You're learning.
We got over the fear of it and jumped right in.
And then, of course, you're doing that new podcast with Wendell. So I look forward to hearing that as well.
Yeah, Wendell and Me, it's called.
Look forward to it. break a leg to your son tonight.
Thank you.
Right?
This is Cabaret. The second weekend of Cabaret over at Grand Arts.
Good for you.
Awesome.
It's going to be wonderful. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for supporting the program. We truly appreciate it. Could not do it without you. With that said, on behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, there he is over there, Garen Cochran, behind Video Village. That's the mayor of Whoville, Ellie at Hochberg, the Hounds from Matt Belknap, and our new friend, Adam Felber. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We will see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, gone, not forgotten.